We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, October 18th, 2023, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We called the meeting to order 8:46 for the record. The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance for observation: Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Teeman, Doran, Swavely, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve meeting minutes of the meeting held October 4th, 2023. Approve all claims through October 18th, 2023 in the amount of $706,019.02, which does not include claim number 2310099 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $4,426.24, or claim number 2310021 to RL Team and Construction Inc. in the amount of $51,714.47 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve utility permit number 1290 to Eco Energy. Eco Energy will be replacing railroad crossing along Blue Ridge Drive and Southwest 32nd Road. Eco Energy will be closing Blue Ridge Drive for crossing replacement for approximately 5 days, starting November 6th to November 10th. Located east of Section 29, Township 4, North Range 6 East, Midland Township. Approve utility permit number 1291 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be installing new communication line to residents at 821 Southwest 72nd Road, starting at pedestal 251 CE. In the East Greater Ditch, Windstream will bore a 2-inch diameter line by 60 inches deep under Southwest 72nd Road to West Greater Ditch edge of right-of-way, then plow 410 feet south to the residence driveway, and then continue work on private property. Located east of Section 2, Township 6 North, Range 5 East, Claytonia Township. Approve utility permit number 1292 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be installing new communication line to residents at 3370 South 110th Road, starting at pedestal S489PG. In the West Greater Ditch, Windstream will bore a 2-inch diameter line by 60 inches deep under Wilderness Way Drive, then plow approximately 175 feet. Continue in the West Greater Ditch and along the east edge of the right-of-way to the residence driveway, then bore a 2-inch diameter line by 60 inches deep under South 110th Road to the East Greater Ditch, and then continue work on private property. Located east of Section 13, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, Nemaha Township, and west of Section 18, Township 6 North, Range 8 East, Adams Township. Approve utility permit number 1293 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be installing new communication line to a residence at 577 Southwest 86th Road, starting at pedestal 181DG. In the East Greater Ditch, Windstream will bore a 2-inch diameter line by 60 inches deep under Southwest 86th Road to the West Greater Ditch, and then continue work on private property. Located west of Section 2 and east of Section 3, Township 6 North, Range 5 East, Claytonia Township. Approve addenda number 1 to DSA number 3 Adams permit number 1278 to NextLink. NextLink will be installing new fiber lines per addendum to the approved DSA number 3 Adams. All new fiber line will be installed in county right-of-way per NextLink plans. NextLink will be installing fiber lines for DSA number 3 addendum number 1 from Highway 41 to Buckeye Road between the 120th Road to 148th Road, located in Adams Township. Ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Schuler. Are there any items anyone would like to pull off or discuss individually? If not, please.
Maybe number 3.
That one's pulled off on the next item. Thanks for noticing, Mr. Dorn. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 231001-99 to Hard Rock Quarries, LLC, in the amount of $4,426.24. And claim number 231-00210 RL Team Construction Inc. in the amount of $51,714.47. This will bring the total amount of claims paid through October 18, 2023 to $762,159.73. These are both companies that I own or operate.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any discussion on these two? Please vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items on anything that's not on the agenda coming up. There are sign-up sheets for the two public hearings today for Four Generations Ag, their new facility, as well as the potential Liberty CAFO permit. Sign-up sheets out in the hallway. If anyone would like to speak or even sign in. If there are no comments, we will move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, Winter Lights, Mr. Swavely.
All righty. the lift for the... Oh, you go on in, Dave. You're. I was going to go on for your notes, but go for it. Okay, so...
Good morning.
Good morning. He must have been waiting out in the hall.
I was, Dave. Yes. work continues on the... masonry work. They have been on the north side, and they're supposed to. I actually just got a call from Greg Dennis, though I didn't get a chance to call him back. But they should be bringing that the man lift here on the south side to continue the work on the south side of the masonry, repointing and repairing. I talked to Applied Connective. They gave us a proposal on updating our camera and door system. The system we have now is about 13 years old, and we would still be able to use our same cameras and door hardware, but it would be more of the servers and everything would be upgraded for that. And panels between third and fourth floor windows are starting to show some damage. Those are wooden panels. And so when we have that lift down here, we're going to do some inspecting on them. And when we put those in, there was discussion whether we should go with wood or metal. And since they're up high enough, maybe I was going to check into seeing what we could replace those with for the long-term solution. And... Lammel Plumbing came to the detention center and just changed out a backflow. So while the water was off, we made some other repairs over there. And that's and then Windstream, I did talk to Windstream about getting fiber to the highway department, and I'm going to check with another vendor also to see how they would do it. So, and that's about all we had.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Jones. Equalization, municipalities' tax rates have been set. There is time, if there are any amendments, get them in by November 6th, and we'll get them changed out. Otherwise, it looks like Southeast Community College has come back down, and everything else is pretty much par for the course this year. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items. Applied Connective Technologies, computer equipment, $32,506.06. City Beatrice, victims assistant, garbage, quarterly EMS, and quarterly probation, $54,043.89. Region 5 systems, quarterly funding, $13,420.50. Washington County Sheriff, boarding of inmates, $13,500. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $27,968.16. NMC Exchange Parts, $11,309.52. RL Team Construction Incorporated, Township Gravel and Hauling, $51,714.47. Sapp Brothers Fuel, $21,815.53. City Beatrice, quarterly EMS services, $59,106.16.
We'll also be talking very shortly to University of Nebraska about extension. We need to get a new contract in place. What I'd really like to see us do is simplify it down to where we just give a set dollar amount. We provide a building and then give them a set dollar amount to work with. Right now, we give them 1 to 3 employees plus additional dollars to let them operate more efficiently and to help with management issues with staff there. I think that would be the easiest, but we'll have to try to negotiate that out with the university. So I'm hoping we have something started on that soon and perhaps done by the end of the year, but time will tell on that. Human resources, employee relations, don't really have any issues at this time. Law enforcement, emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, you got anything other than what we're talking?
I do not.
Okay. Gus, have you caught up or?
I got a few things. I think due to the fact that I'm going to be busy this morning, I'll just, whatever I gave to you guys earlier, put that on file.
Two things that I do want to be a little noteworthy here is we had a pretty serious farm accident a while back, about the first part of the month, and the first deputy on scene was Chavez, and he put on, I think, 1 or 2 tourniquets to control the bleeding and probably saved the gentleman's life. And so he was nominated internally for our life-saving award. He stayed cool and calm, professional, got the helicopter landed where it needed a good, safe place to land it, and got the gentleman taken off to the hospital. So he was given that award for our office. Second thing is I'll just make note, we are starting a school resource deputy program, thanks to the board putting some money in the budget there. We're in the process of hiring. We're still short a couple of deputies anyway, so we're going to hire some people, hopefully. And we'll take a look and interview and see who wants to do it and kind of go from there. I think it's going to be a value to the schools. I've met with Gary and the superintendents of the school and the county, and they know how the program works. And if we can get all the kinks worked out and show them what can we provide to them, maybe next year we'll get some support there financially, but we'll just see. But that is out there for public now, so they'll know we're doing that. So that's about it. Everything else you see is printed up there for you. So any questions?
Were you going to, or did you want to have a time where we, where you did the award for Chavez here at this board meeting, or no?
No, not this time around. We're just short of help, so busy. He really didn't want nothing anyway. So we just gave it to him over there one day at briefing, and otherwise I would have done that, Gary, but he didn't really care to. So yeah. I'm not forcing the issue, you know. So.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Broden Bridge, Mr. Jurgens.
Discussion again on the State Line Bridge with Marshall County. We had a conference call with the superintendent and the 3 commissioners down there. It's on the agenda coming up, so there'll be more discussion on that one. Discuss several box culvert projects moving forward. Cedar Road, Hickory Road, and 82nd Road. And that was the easy stuff. I'm going to give the hard stuff to Miss Haxby.
Because it wasn't written out all the way?
Yeah.
So we were working on the BIP grant, which is a bridge grant, and they opened up the BIP, but it was for large projects only, so basically $100 million or more projects or population of 200,000 or more, which does not equal us. So we went back. They're going to be opening the RAISE grant again, and so we're working on redoing that application and maybe doing some outreach sessions, getting people out there to give me feedback, and I'll make a couple surveys so I can gather the data that they want that will make our project a little bit better. And he missed a point here. It's been stated how sharp Terry Jurgens looks today.
I didn't want to bring that up.
And clean shaven.
He missed it, so I thought I'd better read it.
See how you missed that. We have a little bit of time before time to vent, so I'd ask Ms. Wiggin to give us the Planning and Zoning Recommendation on Special Use Permit 2023-5.
Yes. So this particular permit is for a commercial ag building. I'll just reference my report that I gave to you guys Monday morning. Just some of the finer points. That's for a Four Generations Ag. I don't think they're in the room yet, but they do plan to come for the hearing. It's located in an A2 area along Highway 77. They operate their generations for barn, but Myron Helmke, the father, has subdivided off 3 acres, and for his son and a partner or a co-applicant to operate a seed business warehouse. It is considered to be commercial, so they have to go through the special use permit process, which they have done through P&Z already. Again, that particular parcel, if you're driving up there, it would be along Buckeye Road or just south on the south side of Buckeye Road. There is an area that he's had some farm equipment at that particular site already, and it's been posted there too. There was no opposition at our zoning hearing. I did get some calls into the office, just general questions, and Matt was very gracious of, hey, give him my phone number, his phone number, I should say, and he answered those questions for them, but there was no concerns with that particular site. So Holt and Highland Township were notified. That is on that Buckeye Road is a swap between the two townships, but they've been notified, and they're working with the applicant on a tube, and I think that tube actually has already been dropped there that they need. So commission finds and recommends approval to the Board of Supervisors 7-0. So.
And we have, I'll just remind everyone, if anyone's in the hallway or here, there are sign-up sheets for both public hearings, both for Four Generations Ag and the Liberty Island Grove CAFO. Lisa, we have time to receive the recommendation on Special Use Permit 2023-4
sure.
as well.
Let me find it quick. Okay, so again, this is for the hog CAFO to be the swine CAFO to be located down in Island Grove Township on the northwest quarter. It's on the southwest quarter, part of that in Section 25. Many of you have visited that site, I'm certain. It is considered to be a Level C livestock operation as far as Gage County zoning requirements are concerned. It's located in an A1, but the setbacks have to be at least a half a mile, a minimum of a half a mile setback for a 2,500 AU facility. This particular project, as you look through your review, everybody has the book, which includes the state permit that was on file with the state also. And a lot of packet information that was presented at P&Z's hearing. And you also have received different documents. So included in your documents, there's the site plans, application, the building layout, setback maps. Before we actually went and scheduled a public hearing for P&Z, I needed the verification that we knew exactly where the spots were for the building site, so that I could have Chris Witulski go out and do that site measurement. And that was completed by Chris, and the map that we've been referencing along this particular one, that's also in your packet, that is what Chris Witulski had prepared. They have also included the manure management plan prepared by Nutrient Advisors, the manure route plan as far as the route that the slurry would be delivered by the co-applicant, the engineer's plan, the Nebraska animal feeding operation siting matrix score sheets in there, the odor footprint map, the NDEE public comments, so there's copies of that in your packet, and the petitions on file. And then there's also the NDE's letter to the public comments that were sent to each one of those individuals that filed those to the state. That copy is in there from the state also. You have the PNZ hearing exhibits. Village of Liberty presented PNZ with a resolution the night of our hearing. You have a copy of that. Along with the Island Grove Township presented us with a resolution. You have a copy of that. The Lower Big Blue NRD permit for commingled well and their response letter and statement of waters of concern is also in your packets. The PNZ letters and information received is in your packets also. Again, I reference you may have already received those as you went along, too, when we did. Gage County Roads Department has a report in there along with the Manelli Wagner report on 176 Road and the overview of the bridge weight restrictions on that one just north to north on 176. There's also a copy of the NDE state-approved permit for operating and construction. So PNZ's hearing was held August 29th, and the action was tabled at that particular time. And it was due to the information presented during the hearing and the questions needing additional clarification and further review by commission members before they could vote or make any action, which included at that time roads, bridges. It was identified there was a road safety for the school buses. That was a current situation that they were experiencing. Decommissioning, water availability, and also to review the resolutions that were presented from Island Grove Township and the Village of Liberty. So the current safety issue using 176 Road involved the safety of the children riding the school bus, and that was identified at our hearing. And so as of the PNZ hearing date, the applicants had made several attempts to meet with Island Grove Township, however, had not been successful. And the commission at that point had asked the agencies involved, asked if we could organize a meeting with those agencies that involved to discuss. So on October 19th, a meeting was held at the Gage County Courthouse, coordinated by Gage County Attorney's Office with the following agencies: the applicants, Island Grove Township, the Village of Liberty, Lewiston School District, the Wymore School District, Mark Kunke for the Roads Department, Supervisor Don Schuler was there, Roger Harris, and myself. And this was the individuals that were invited to that meeting. Mark Kunke presented the report of Manelli Wagner on 176 Road at that meeting and the bridge weight allowance. There was good discussion at that meeting. However, Gage County representatives at that particular meeting were asked to step out to allow conversations to continue between the applicants and those in other agencies involved. So we're not, I don't know what was discussed at that particular meeting. So after we left. On September 26th, the commission continued discussion on the application. They reviewed documentation and asked additional questions from the applicants and also had questions for Island Grove Township. Mark Whedon, on behalf of the Island Grove Township, stated that there was no agreement and Island Grove will not take further action until Gage County does approve the special use permit application. So after further discussion and review was completed, which also included the dust control, the road usage, the timelines of the use of the road, fly control, pit additives, incineration, roads, water, and decommissioning, the commission then took action on this permit. So PNZ's recommendation to the Board of Supervisors after our hearing was that to recommend approval with three conditions. The manure only to be applied by injection method, except in the event of catastrophic or emergency situations. The second condition was to include three monitoring wells with locations to be determined by a licensed professional hydrologist, which I received yesterday actually by Nutrient Advisors, and you have a copy of that Don gave you, was the Island Grove, the groundwater monitoring plan that was placed. So that was in reference to meet that condition. And then the third condition was to place two rows of red cedar trees to be placed 15 foot apart, placed alternately on the west side of the building along 176th Road. So the motion carried Five yeses, one no, which was James Lenders, and then Terry Acton recused action. So.
Any questions for Lisa?
Can you, what was the last part? Terry Acton recused himself?
So it was through, he did not vote, so he was recused.
Five, 1-1. There are sign-up sheets for Four Generations Ag public hearing as well as the CAFO. Sorry to repeat myself, but just in case anyone has come in or is in the hallway so that they know they can speak. I see Mr. Helmke in the hallway. We have just a few minutes before we have that timed event for the public hearing for that. Roger, you probably don't need much time on the agreement with
No.
University of Nebraska. I guess I'd ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the agreement between the University of Nebraska Medical Center and Gage County for forensic and crime lab testing for the period of 1 year and authorize the county attorney to sign the agreement.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Haxby. Roger, do you want to touch on this?
Yeah, real quick, we had a defendant ask for another test in a particular criminal case. The court ordered that, approved it, and the University of Nebraska Med Center now says you got to do a one-year contract, even though we're doing it one time. So that's what you got, and I believe it's $130 or some. I mean, we're not talking a large amount, and it is a court order. So,
will that be something you could use in the future potentially, or probably not?
Potentially, the case may come up again. In the past, we've handled this on a one-time deal. You know, if the judge ordered it, we just run it through our accounts. But now we do a one-year contract.
We have a motion by Swavely, second by Haxby. Any other discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. We have a late filing on a piece of property. What was the recommendation on this?
Date has passed, so we got.
We don't have much choice
Patty,
on this.
Patty thought that it was because the pink card went out that she thought that that was probably the time to do it. So I think that's what.
I would ask for a motion to approve or disapprove accepting late protest on parcel number 01176800. This parcel or this protest came in October 6th. What was the date they were required to be in by?
June 30th.
We really don't have a choice on this.
Have to, okay.
We have to.
Motion to approve.
We have to disapprove this one because
it
came in.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. It came in 4 months late.
Okay.
Just by state statute.
Gotcha.
Motion to disapprove.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Second by Swavely. To disapprove accepting late tax protest by Gloria Ottersberg. Any discussion on this? Sometimes they're close, and even the close ones were required to deny after a certain time period. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. We have a timed event at 9:15. Let everyone know there is sign-up sheet in the hallway for Four Generations Ag's public hearing. I'd ask for a motion to go into public hearing at 9:15 to hear support or opposition from the public on special use permit 2023-5 for the placement of a commercial agricultural business to be located on a tract of land located on the part of northwest quarter on a part of the northwest quarter of the northwest quarter section 356 in Holt Township.
Motion to go into public hearing.
Second.
Motion by Dorn, second by Swavely. Go into public hearing at 9:15. Please vote. 7-0. Motion carries. We're in public hearing. We'll begin with Mr. Helpke, the applicant. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good.
We're just, in a nutshell, we're putting a pole shed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Helmke, would you raise your right hand?
Oh, yes.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Would you give your name and address for the record, please?
Matt Helmke, 9438 U.S. Highway 77, Pickerel.
This is the only one I have right now, unless they have something else. These are all the hogs.
All right, begin again.
Okay, we're just, we're basically, in a nutshell, we're putting a pole shed up for our seed business. So we're going to have it's going to be a seed warehouse with and then farm shed as well. It's going to be a part-time deal. We'll have people there in and out. I mean, it'll be less traffic than, say, a 30,000 bushel bin. There'll be no dust, or we'll have to widen the entryway. But other than that, there's going to be very little local impact, I believe, since we're kind of out there by ourselves. Any other questions for me, I guess?
Any questions for Mr.
Is there anything Helping? That I...
How big a bill? Oh, Ms. Haxby.
This is a quick question clarifying. On the application, it was Four Generations Ag. On the notice out to the public, it was listed under Matt and Spencer. Is it one of the same? I just want to make sure clarity-wise.
It's the same. Yeah, we're 50-50 on the LLC. So.
How big a building are you planning to start with?
60 by 120.
Any additional questions? Thank you, Mr. Helmke.
Yeah, you bet.
We don't have anyone signed up to speak. Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor or opposition of the Four Generations Agricultural Facility? Anyone on the board like to say anything? Public hearing on this facility? If not, I would ask for a motion.
Sure, she doesn't have any there.
Sheriff, you want to holler in the hallway for us, please, and see if there's anyone outside that would like to speak at this public hearing.
No.
It says speak no.
So, does she have any other sheets, sign-up sheets out there? You got, okay, so then that's it.
All right, I'd ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 9:19 on the clock.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Please vote. 7 in favor, we are out of public hearing. We will put that item on the agenda of our next regularly scheduled meeting on the 1st of November. Just precedent has been in the past, we wait 2 weeks to vote, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago. We are going to continue that for now. But we appreciate you coming in and talking, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thank you, sir. We have another timed event at 9:30. Until then, we'll continue down our agenda. Approve or disapprove proceeding with obtaining specs for future culvert projects, including Christ Lutheran, a box on Christ Lutheran. No.
Cedar,
Hickory, and 82nd, not Christ Lutheran.
This is for box culverts.
This would be to get specs and plans from Manelli Wagner for 3 more boxes, potentially to be completed next calendar year, but be put out to bid possibly this year yet.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Haxby, second by Juergens. Any discussion on these 3? Seeing none. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. We have 9 minutes before a timed event. We're going to try this. Discuss and approve or disapprove participating with Marshall County on the State Line Bridge. We had a phone call with Mike Craig and a few board members from Marshall County on Monday at 9 o'clock. Marshall County would like us to participate in constructing a bridge that goes to a cabin and a piece of ground. Approximate cost would be between $200,000 and $250,000. Our share would be half of that if we choose to participate. There would be additional road work that goes along with that. The board discussed back and forth potential options with Marshall County, and that brought us to today. And I will turn it over to the board for discussion if anyone has any ideas or a route they would like to present. Mr. Juergens.
There's other circumstances involved, I understand, but we have cooperated well with all our partners or different counties, in this case Kansas, Marshall. It's our responsibility to pay for half of those projects. Now, just how it gets done, I don't know. That's the issue here. And what gets done? We hate to spend money on a bridge that provides access for two people, basically, is what it's going to do. Fairly costly. We came up with different options, tubes. Marshall County doesn't like tubes, so they didn't want to do that. They said in Marshall County, we build bridges. So, with that being said, I'd like to see us cooperate with them, but at the lowest cost we can get by with, I guess. I don't have an answer. That's just what I remember.
Ms. Haxby.
I agree with Terry with cooperating with Marshall, because we do have a contract, so to say, with them to split these roads. But the bridge itself, as of right now, is an adequate bridge. It's no different than somebody building a home on a dirt road. It was their choice to build it on that dirt road. They have to build it up to get there. This person chose to buy a house behind on the other side of this bridge, and as of this moment, it's still adequate. But the other person to this, it's a civil dispute. It has nothing to do with us, and I think we need to stay as far away as possible from that. But if we are to do it, then I really do think tubes would be the best option. I kind of felt a little whiplash in there. They say the bridges are their thing, but they want to get rid of bridges, but not this one. So I do think that if we're going to do something, culvert, because it is about half the cost, would be the way to go.
And that's right. It's about potentially half the expense of the bridge. And our attorney did send a letter down to Marshall County that did say this is a civil dispute. They weren't aware of the other side of the story until counsel talked to them. Documentation of those easements were sent down on Monday, I believe. Is that right, Don?
Yes, it was right after the meeting. I sent that stuff down.
So they did.
Copy of their letter and going back and forth between their...
Yeah, and they replied with what they've received. So you all have a copy of that, too.
Mr. Swavely.
Roger gave us some information that, for Gage County to expend money, okay, for a project that's over $50,000, we need bids. Now, from what we know from talking to those fellows on Monday morning, that, they just went out and asked somebody for a price and they got it and that's what they're going to accept. Well, we probably shouldn't do it unless we get some type of a talk to them and convince them that they should go through a bidding process and find out what the real cost is. Okay, so.
Mr. Lytle.
Dave hit it, but for the most part, at this point, we're not in a position to approve what they're wanting to do, for one. Sounds like there's more conversation needs to be had, but I agree with Emily. I agree with Emily that, you know, the 5-10-foot tubes are more than adequate at half the cost of a bridge. So, you know, I'd really like them to see to come. I'd like them to come to that, but at this point, we're not ready to vote to approve it for sure.
I have a question. On this, it says discuss and approve or disapprove. Would this, if we don't do anything, or do we need to table it? What would be the best?
We could just discuss this. We didn't have an answer still. I don't think we need a motion.
No, I said if you don't take any action.
Mr. Juergens.
I remember in the conference call, in this instance, Gage County's lucky. We share 6 bridges with Marshall County.
Yeah.
Out of those 6 bridges, 3 of them are box culverts, and we're lucky enough to have those 3 box culverts. So they've got the 3 dilapidated structures. Supposedly. So,
and the other bridges are structures we're going to have to address moving forward. But they are all through roads. It makes it a little easier discussion, more normal circumstance. That's a rough call. It's the same as the argument: how do we send money overseas when we could use money here? How do we fix bridges somewhere else? I suppose if we've got other bridges similar that we could replace here. How much is it used? I mean, there are bridges built to nowhere, but I think counsel was right on this. As he said, this is a civil dispute. A lot of this comes down to how do we replace or when do we replace this structure. Would we replace the structure if it was strictly ours? I don't think there'd be support on the board to replace a structure if it was just an our catalog of bridges.
If you'd like, I would put together a request for an attorney general's opinion as to the bidding process, because I don't think they like that they want to do it Kansas way, which is fine, but it's Nebraska taxpayer money that we're under bidding requirements. And but that may help us with them when we say our attorney general says this. I'm willing to, you know, if you think that would help, because I agree with Terry, we got a good relationship.
You're absolutely right, and we do want to continue that relationship.
Well, and you know, they're getting pressure down there to, you know,
sure,
to help this individual that needs a road. So
with that's perfect timing. I told Mr. Craig I would call him today. I'll give him a shout.
Do we need a motion for that, Roger? Do we need a motion? Do we need a
motion? No, well, no,
you just,
I don't
you
need
just
a motion.
Do that.
I'll just get her done.
With that, is there any other discussion on this at this time, or otherwise we'll wait for a future meeting to discuss this further?
Yeah.
I'll see if they'll send me something.
Sounds
good.
Thank
you, Counselor. With that, we have a timed event at 9:30. I would ask for a motion to go into public hearing to hear support and or opposition from the public on special use permit number 2023-4 for the placement of a swine. Should I recuse myself now, or can I sit in at all?
Well, I think you need to recuse before you call the public hearing. I would do that.
Okay.
Just to be safe.
So I received a letter from the Accountability and Disclosure Commission that I have a potential interest in, or a potential conflict of interest, which will cause me to recuse myself from this permit. Council has just advised me to recuse myself prior to public hearing. So should I turn this over to Saxby for the public hearing then?
Yep, go ahead and convene the public hearing, absolutely.
So for that, I'll sit back and I will turn this over to Ms. Haxby Ms. Haxby, I'd just ask you to ask for a motion to go into public hearing at 9:30, swear folks in, and take their comments.
I need a motion to go into public hearing at 9:31 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Gary. Please vote. Six in favor with Thiemann abstaining. We are now in public hearing. Do you need me to switch seats?
I'm wondering. I'm not going to have your names. Okay, I don't know who.
All my papers. I'll try to remember.
You made the motion.
Dave, second by Gary. All right, if we...
So here's... Yeah, so this is how they go first. Now's what we have. Yeah.
All right, to begin our public hearing, we typically will hear from our applicants first, so if we can get our applicant to come forward.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm here representing the applicant. My name is Steve Mossman. My address is 134 South 13th Street, Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm an attorney with the Mattson Ricketts Law Firm. Members of the Commission, Acting Chair Haxby, here this morning to hear the permit for Auto Acres LLC. And Dean and Hayden Otto are here. And Summit Pork, Carl Jacobson is here. And we're coming to this board with a 5-1 recommendation to approve with certain conditions that are all acceptable to the applicant. So with that, I'd turn it over to Carl.
Carl, I'll get your name and address for the record.
Carl Jacobson, 1903 Road 9, York, Nebraska.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the whole truth? Sorry. I don't do this often. Can you tell?
That's all right.
Do you swear to affirm the whole truth, nothing but the truth, to help you God?
Yes, I do. Thank you guys for your time today, and looking forward to discuss our project where we've been working on here in Gage County concerning the swine feeding operation in Island Grove Township. I represent Summit here in Nebraska, working with the landowners like Dean and Hayden Otto, and then ultimately continuing to develop that and move it into production. So as you guys all know, it's a 6250 or 6249 feeder to finish building, power ventilated, tunnel cross ventilated. All the air will be moved with fans, inlets. None of that will be naturally blown with air. All the manure will be contained underneath the facility in an 8-foot concrete pit. With so basically everything's contained. That has all been engineered and approved through state NDEE engineer and also the engineer ProAg that did all the designs for us on the project. So very thorough, multiple inspections will happen along the way through the pouring of the concrete process before the roof goes on, after the roof goes on, and then once construction is finished. I really want to, you know, be able to answer any questions that you guys have specific to the process. Obviously, we've worked on a project that's the exact same project as our exact same building that'll be up there by Pickerel Adams area. But one thing I kind of wanted to talk to the board about today is you know, we've heard a lot of, let's just call it sayings on this, and ultimately, in my mind, this isn't corporate hog farming. This is modern hog farming, or modern today, 2023 hog feeding. We're working with a group in a neighboring county that employs people out of Gage County. They buy feed in Gage County. Our general contractor is from Gage County, employs people in Gage County. A lot of the subcontractors are very local of this project, and ultimately, I think that's important because I'm not very old, obviously, but I've done this for about 7 years, and this is one of the most local projects I've ever been involved with. A local pig company that's family-owned, the next generation wants to come back. This is going to allow their business to stay competitive in the long term, not today, not tomorrow, but 10, 20 years down the road, because we know and we've all talked about, you know, protein production nowadays. And the Livingston family wants to stay competitive in the market, in the hog industry today. And that's a family-owned business that is right here, southeast Nebraska, employing people, buying corn, buying inputs, buying supplies. So I think that's important because it's just as we become a growing population, there's more need to be more efficient to grow the protein we need to eat, less labor force. So being more efficient, using what we have to be more efficient to create the protein we needed for the next 20 years is really what a lot of this comes back to, I think, if we look big picture at the project. So I'm looking forward to answering any questions that the board may have. I also have Andy Schulting here, who represents us on the manure management and permitting side of things. So anything that comes with a manure application, nutrient management, Andy's going to be our professional to answer those types of questions.
Does anybody have any questions for Carl? I have a quick one. With the security, with like health risks with pigs,
yep.
How many people are you actually going to have working in that facility?
On a daily basis, there'll be 2 to 3 people. Loadout times, there might be a few more. On weekends, there might be 1. So I would say 3 to 5 on a...
Jobs created would actually be like that 2 to 3.
Yep. And that's outside of the feed manufacturing. And, I mean, that's just day-to-day labor there. I mean, there's obviously so much more that goes into getting a pig from 50 pounds to 250 pounds that it's, you know... It's more scope, but on a day-to-day at this facility, you know, I'd say 2 to 3.
Isn't his feed mill in a different county?
Yeah, but they buy a lot of distillers grain right up the road in Adams, Nebraska. There's a Livingston truck in and out of there every day.
Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you.
We gotta
wait and hear from our applicants first.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Your name and address, please.
Andy Schulting, 449 East Deer Street, West Point, Nebraska.
All right, raise your hand, please. Swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do. All right. Good morning. My name is Andy Schulting with Nutrient Advisors. We've had the opportunity to work with the applicants in developing their nutrient management plan and permit applications both at the county and the state level. My role here today is just to provide some facts about the site itself, how it will be managed from nutrient management and waste storage structure standpoint, and just some general siting guidelines as we work to site livestock. So in according to your regulations, this is a Class C animal feeding operation. It does require a half-mile setback in Gage County, and we have verified that it does meet that setback, that there's no churches, schools, platted residences or cemeteries, historical sites that fall within that half-mile setback. ND originally came out to the site in May, and they did determine that a state operating permit for the waste storage structure was required. Throughout this process that has gone on for, really throughout the summer, we did apply for that permit, and we were issued a construction and operating permit on August 22nd for this site, which included a state-approved nutrient management plan. this site will produce approximately 1.8 to 1.9 million gallons of swine slurry annually. The Ottos have a large farming operation. They've included just under 500 acres in this specific nutrient management plan, which is more than enough to utilize the nitrogen that will be produced at the site. In addition, they've given us a list of approximately 800 additional acres that may be used to utilize manure from the site in the future. A nutrient management plan is a living and breathing document, and so it is a narrative approach, meaning that we soil sample prior to application every single year. We take a lot of manure samples to make sure that we have a great understanding of what the product is, and then we do nutrient budgeting, meaning that we have to understand the client's yield goals, crop plans, and we budget nutrients just like one might budget finances. We have to know what we have in the bank, that is the soil. We have to know what our product is, that is the manure. We have to know what other sources of nutrients we have, whether it be crop residues or previous crop credits, other fertilizers, et cetera. So each and every application, we're doing that budgeting to ensure that nitrogen and phosphorus is not over-applied. From a Nebraska siting matrix standpoint, the Department of Ag has developed a siting matrix that they recommend using for siting of livestock. There's lots of things that go into that siting matrix, including details about the site itself, the type of production practices, the type of waste storage that is planned, the applicant's production practices, where they live, etc. The Department of Ag suggests that 75 is a good and quality livestock site. This site produced a score of 104 points. The reason it scores so highly is because everything is completely housed under roof and stored in concrete. Compared to open types of livestock production practices or earthen storage of manures, this site, from a technical and scientific standpoint, is one of the very safest ways to produce livestock under a roof, confined, and all the manure is stored in concrete. The site itself sits on Burchard silt loam, or Judson silt loam and Burchard clay loam. Both are good soil properties for construction of this type of facility. I think you probably know or have a copy of the well permit that we did get from the Lower Big Blue NRD to drill a well and to have combined wells. We received that permit in July of 23. A couple of other points that I wanted to make, and I guess this is all under the umbrella of just to really encourage you to ask questions as we go on through the hearing, and then as you close the public hearing, please don't hesitate to ask us questions. I know in the zoning hearing, there were some questions that came up after the public hearing, and they didn't ask us, and it could have alleviated a lot of the stress and issues that came up in conversation. So I'm going to attempt to just point out some things that are probably right in front of you that you may not realize. One is a closure plan. A closure plan is included in the state-approved nutrient management plan. That outlines the practice of if the site were to ever close, that they have to notify the NDEE. They have to clean out the facility completely. NDEE has to come out and inspect that facility before they would ever be allowed to close in the pit. There's a quality assurance plan in the construction and engineering documents. That outlines the detail of construction, the detail of jointing, the detail of concrete construction, and the quality of that, and who's responsible for that, including the applicant, the engineer, the contractor, and the inspector. One thing that the state did not require, because they felt comfortable that there was enough separation from groundwater, they did not require a groundwater monitoring plan. However, it was suggested in your planning commission meeting that a groundwater monitoring plan would be a condition of this permit. So we did go ahead and prepare a groundwater monitoring plan that we sent to Lisa yesterday. Did you have a chance to distribute that? Okay, so you should have a copy of that. And again, that is not required by the state, but the applicant gave us the green light to prepare a plan that includes three wells that would be according to your proposed condition on this permit. So with that, I'd entertain any questions. I'm here as a technical resource. you know, we're so far down the road with all the permits, the wells, the state operating permit, the state approved nutrient management plan, that that shores up a lot of the issues that we typically have as we discuss in supervisors meetings. But I want to make sure you realize the documents that you have before you, and I'm here as a resource to answer any questions about it.
You brought up a good point. Just to be clear, it is our common practice to vote 2 weeks after our hearing, so we do have time for those questions.
Great.
So our vote will not take place today. Do you guys have any questions?
For him? Yeah.
Don?
What is the setback distance on a tile outlet riser for the injected effluent? Is there a setback, a state law?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. So setbacks in general are 100 foot to keep back from streams, wells, tile risers, et cetera. Anything that has waters of the state, if you will, requires a 100-foot setback. Unless there is a 35-foot of perennial vegetation, then that setback can be minimized to 35 feet. In addition to that, there are some alternative controls that can be utilized in manure application. For example, tile risers could be covered and sealed, like with a solid riser during the application process. That may be approved by the state as an alternative control. In addition to that, depending on how it's applied and how deep it's injected, if the applicant can show that there is no risk of runoff from an application, including deep injection, then they could pursue alternative controls and alternative setbacks.
So is the outlet of the tile, say a tile line, if it outlets into a grassed waterway and doesn't dump directly into a stream,
mm-hmm.
does that make a difference on the risers upstream from the outlet? You follow what I'm saying?
If the outlet discharges into a
grassed waterway,
a grass waterway,
which filters it.
Yep. So in general, that's going to depend on a technical determination of, is that grass waterway considered an intermittent stream? There's a lot of grass waterways in terrace country that is not an intermittent stream, is more considered a filter or buffer strip. There's a lot of grass waterways that are intermittent streams on the original topo maps, and in that case, that would require the setback.
Who would come out and determine that, whether those setbacks are followed or if a setback is needed?
So our evaluation initially, as we visit sites, is required to submit. The state reviews and approves that. Ultimately, it can change, and it's the applicant's responsibility to know their requirements for setbacks. We serve as a consulting role, and we will consult them with that. But, for example, there could be a field out there right now that just got harvested, and a farmer could be installing brand new terraces, brand new tile inlets, could be developing a new waterway. That's what I mean by a nutrient management plan is a living, breathing document. It changes. The absolute rules of their construction and operating permit is that they will maintain setbacks to waters of the state of 100 feet or 35 foot of vegetation or alternative approved methods. So if something changes today that installs a new tile riser or they install a new outlet that is outletting right into a stream, they immediately are required to keep that setback according to their plan.
And these setbacks, they're the same for anhydrous ammonia?
No, sir. There actually is no setback regulations or rules for commercial fertilizers.
About atrazine?
There are. There certainly are for atrazine. All chemicals will have different setbacks, and you know the only rule of thumb in that context is follow the label.
Right.
Yep.
So what I'm saying is there's other ag products that these rules also apply to.
Yeah, it's a different set of rules, but certainly there are setbacks required.
Similarities.
Absolutely. Yes.
Any other questions? I do have one. With that, you were talking about that buffer strip with riser tile. I think it was brought up, if you have a 35 or 100 foot buffer strip that you cannot apply that in, do you account for that or those lack of acres in your nutrient management plan?
Yes, setback acres are included if it's absolutely sure that the setback has to be maintained. So, you know, again, Dean has provided us with about 500 acres in this plan. We have an alternative list of another 800 acres. So as setbacks are maintained, and if acres are taken away from the plan acres, there is plenty of additional farmland to utilize and add to the plan if and when it's necessary.
And then you mentioned earlier about the matrix. Does that account for the effect it has on the neighbors with the smell?
So setbacks are certainly included in the matrix, and the further away or further beyond any county requirements, if there's additional setbacks, there's points for that.
Okay. Somebody was talking to me. They had no idea what was going on here, and they had a 2,000-head hog facility planted about a half a mile from their house, and they said about 50% of the time they can't grill outside. So I didn't know if that kind of took into account in that matrix. So she had no idea that this was even happening. Was telling me about her, her family.
So the only points for setbacks to a neighbor in the state matrix is points beyond the required county setback. So your county requires 2,640 feet or a half mile for a facility of this size to any residence. If they maintained a setback beyond that, they could get points. And the reason the state matrix doesn't get into the detail of feet or miles is because every county has different setbacks.
So it's just based on county, not the factor?
It's based on county plus.
Okay.
Right.
That's all I have. Anybody else?
Okay. Well, Mr. Mossman.
With that, I wondered if the board had any questions for Carl or the Ottos. And if not, I think it's usually custom. Oh, yes. Supervisor Schuller.
Is there far as incineration, and maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but it's what's the plan for the incineration? Is there a building going to be built? This is different than what the one in Hanover Township is?
No, exact same.
Exact
so
same. They're having
actually
a building, too.
They're purchased, and there'll be a building off of the I got to get my directions straight here.
That's north.
off the south end of the building that'll be enclosed and
that's at the Highland Grove
and contained. So basically that driving by, you will not see anything.
So with the building versus no building, is how does that affect smell or a view? I mean, obviously it's enclosed then and it's incinerated inside this building.
It would be exhausted.
Sure.
But basically the biggest thing is you know, everything's contained. Nothing's outside of the building. Dead pigs aren't outside the building. It's susceptible to wildlife, whatever it might be. But everything's contained in a steel structure.
Benefits of being
concrete
contained,
and steel obvious. Structured.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
If there are any more questions, I think it's...
I have a follow-up question for Mr. Otto. Do I have to swear him in? Okay. Can I get your name and address?
Dean Otto, 633 State Highway 43, Adams, Nebraska.
Okay, if you raise your right hand. Do you swear to affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
My question was, appears to be very similar to the other project.
Yes.
Are you going to truck this manure to your applicator and apply again, same way?
Yes. Once that farm is done, then we would truck to the applicator again, like the other farm.
So you would use like the hose on that farm? Is that the drag line? Is that what that?
No. On that farm, it's on order. We got a 9,500 gallon trailer we're going to use to do it all.
And then I would assume since you're having the same amount of head, the same amount of manure, so you're applying that at about 4,000 gallons an acre?
Yes. 4 to 6, that all depends on the nutrient plan.
Yeah. So your fill is about every 2 acres again?
Yes, that is correct. Yep.
Okay, that was my question.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah.
So one of the things that's been talked about is the roads being an issue. Does anyone know the width difference from a semi to a 3/4 ton Ford pickup? That much? About 6 inches. That's the difference. An ambulance is, depending what kind, is basically the same width as a semi. So it won't affect the roads at all as far as traveling goes once they get the trees cleaned up.
Okay. I was going to make a request that it's customary for the applicant to have a brief rebuttal after the opposition testimony. Will we be allowed that opportunity?
Yeah, that was on my notes to actually announce. So, right. After everyone's done, the applicant will be welcome up to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you.
With that, we will start going through the list. We will give everyone 3 minutes. Dawn will be our timer, hopefully. And we will ask everybody to remain respectful during this process. Do you want to take a 5-minute bath in your mouth? We'll save the bathroom break for a little bit here. I'm going to apologize if I get any of these names mispronounced. Ralph Bodie.
Yes.
You can name and address for the record.
Ralph M. Bodie, 706-88-606 Avenue, Liberty, Nebraska.
Can I have you raise your right hand? Swear or affirm to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
All right. Let's hear it.
The water table is very important to all of us, not excluding the cities and the rural areas. We have a big problem here because a number of these hog confinement facilities have had problems with nitrogen and antibiotics. And there's a few other things that may happen at that level in different processes that aren't going to be discussed here. But we've seen what's happened in Missouri, northern half of Missouri, with the 35 units closed. And we should expect the same thing happening here because the water table is the most important thing we have. We need to have assurance, and that will be either by the state, the county, the state, or the federal government on what's contaminated. And it looks to me like the nitrogen and antibiotics are the primary cause of contamination in these facilities, plus the facility itself, which has no ability to remain permanent, as in it cannot hold the fluids. So if we aren't watching the water table, who are we? And it can affect the whole United States because these things are nationwide. We've seen what's happening in Missouri, northern half of Missouri, with those 35 units closed because of contamination, and the few that are north of the Platte River in eastern Nebraska from Governor Palin's facilities. So I want to be sure that you understand that our responsibility in Gage County is immense. And if we continue to do these things, we'll probably see the same thing happen.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Bodie? All right. Thank you, sir. Steve Jansen.
Morning.
Can I get your name and address,
please? Yes, Steve Jansen, 13005 East Locust Road, Virginia, Nebraska.
Please raise your right hand. Swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I swear. Thank you. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. It's still on my opposition to the Otto Hog Farm. I'm sure you all know Rockford Lake and where it's at, what it was designed for. It was built in the 1960s. And all of you probably have friends that go there. Maybe you'll go there on your own. Well, my problem today is on site number one, 68.68 acres, 19 tile outlets. I just drove there this morning. Now, these tile outlets are already draining into Bloody Run. Bloody Run is the main source of water for the Rockford Lake. I think it's like 90% of it. Now, I was kind of hoping if this thing did go through, it might take 4 or 5 years before the slurry to get to the lake. But as I seen this morning, it already dumps right into a box culvert. that goes right into Bloody Run. There's no buffer strip. These tile outlets drain right into the culvert. Okay, so, and then that's, I don't know, maybe 100 feet where Bloody Run starts. And then Bloody Run is about a mile and a half from the Rockford Lake. So I've seen Bloody Run at its worst, and I've seen it as it is now, which is fairly calm. But as its worst, it is very violent. And luckily it hasn't been that way for the last couple of years. But if you want to have the Rockford Lake become a ghost lake, well, basically that's what it's going to be. Okay. Well, can you imagine yourself going out in there, water skiing, fishing, whatever, knowing there's a possibility of algae? There, I don't think I'm going to do it. And I live a mile from the lake. Now, if you think I don't know what I'm talking about, the game and parks near Broken Bow has a lake called Victoria Springs. And it's been concentrated with phosphorus, which this hog manure is very, a lot of phosphorus in it. They've tried skimming it and dredging it to reduce the phosphorus level. And they've had no luck doing that. Now, the Rockford Lake itself does have algae bloom in it. Because I know that during the summer, a lot of times when it's dry, it's closed. Few minutes?
Your time is up.
No. Well, anyway, make a long story short, the slurry gets into it, which it will. There will be toxic algae, which we don't want that. Nobody wants that. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions? All right. Thank you, sir. Margaret Haith. Can I get your
Margaret
name?
Haith, 104 West Granville, here in Beatrice.
Can I have you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth to help you God?
I do. Honorable members of the boards of supervisors, I really didn't think I was literally going to be timed for 3 minutes, but since I am going to have to read my statement, which I normally do not like doing that. So on October 4th, the clerk's office gave each of you a packet of documents that was submitted by me. My documents, which were from reliable sources, covered how CAFOs are harming our surface and groundwater and the soil. And the documents also covered the environmental health effects of poor air quality, odors, insects, and antibiotics, which, as we know, we get those in our water, then we're going to become antibiotic resistant. And that all of these are going to affect our quality of life. And then I had also emailed each of you, the CAFOs, what we don't know is hurting us. And I'm trusting by now that all of you have read that information. I realize it's a lot. But it is, like I said, it's been done from North Carolina and Iowa, which have CAFOs, a lot of CAFOs, and they've had them for a long time. And even though it's regulated, things still happen. And I think right now we have a perfect example here in the state of Nebraska, Pillen Farms. Those are conscientious farmers. They have state-of-the-art setups, just like the Summit Pork is planning on doing. And just in April, their water was tested. It was 11 times over the legal limit for nitrates. And they've got a whole team, I think about 17 of them, that are working on monitoring their water and these wells. It's not that it can happen. These things do happen. Now, I am extremely concerned about our water. Both the quantity. Yes.
1 minute.
Okay. Both the quantity and the quality. The CAFOs use a prolific amount of water, and they pollute the water. We're in a drought right now in Gage County. How long is it going to last? Nobody knows. So, one last thing. During the public forum at the last meeting, this board was very concerned about being fair. So let's talk about fair. Is it fair that one man who lives 30 miles from this proposed site and a group of investors who don't even live in Nebraska are going to profit at the expense of so many other people? And I'm especially talking about people in the town of Liberty and those that live nearby, but also people living here in Gage County. We're all breathing the same air, and we're all drinking from the same aquifer. So thank you very much, and please, like I said, don't listen. I want you to listen, not just hear the opponents and what they have to say. Thank you.
Ma'am, do you, before you leave, do you have any questions?
I'm sorry.
Does anybody have any
anybody
questions?
Anybody have any questions? Yes.
I have a question for you.
Yes,
Margaret. On those articles, they were really good. Where did you find those? How did you find those, or how did you come across those?
Well, I'm going to be perfectly honest. Just go into your search engine, type in CAFO. That's all you got to type in. I could very, very little did I find anything positive about CAFO. It's all of these different articles that people are putting on different websites. And like the ones for the CDC, you can just go to the CDC. You can go to the NIH. You can go to any of those government sites and just look up documents on CAFOs.
Was that one of like the first ones that came up in your search when you did that?
The one, I think one of the places where I got the documents for that I submitted to you folks is that was actually an article in a health magazine, and this lady had done her research, and then she had this whole list of her references underneath where she had gotten all her information. Well, again, I know everybody doesn't have time that they can go in and click on every single link and read every single one of these. So that was part of what I did for you guys. I just went in, looked at all these documents. I looked at every single one of them. I think there were 12 of them. I looked at every single one, and then, again, without printing off the whole document to have everybody overloaded with papers, I just gleaned the parts for the what we're concerned about here with the air and the water and just the runoff and things. That's what I provided for you guys in those documents.
So I have two kind of questions following that. So have you read through our regulations that we have currently, and then also are you aware that we as a board did send the regulations to planning and zoning to be reviewed? And then, like, would you have any input from that information for our regulations?
So by your regulations mean from the Board of Supervisors, or are we talking about the regulations for the special use permit?
We have planning and zoning regulations.
Yes.
We have asked our planning and zoning board to review those regulations because they haven't been for a while, so it's more of an update kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Are you aware that that process is taking place? Any of this information could be brought to, are you to be part of that conversation,
I guess.
Are you aware of that process?
Yes.
Okay. That was
you mean that you had the planning and zoning?
We yes. It is currently happening, so I didn't know if you were aware that that was being done and interested in taking part of that, being a part of that process.
I see. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Greg Thomas.
Hi, everybody. Greg Thomas, 38820 South 176 Road, Liberty.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Hi, my wife and I, we live just a mile and a half north of where the proposed site is. We've lived there for 30 years. My family have lived on the north edge of Liberty for 106 years. That's how long the farm. My son lives there currently. I'm not unsympathetic for the hog outfits and the nutrient juice and everything. I do understand that. I've been an active farmer all my life. But there are certain places that just aren't right for a setup like what there is there. It's just... there's a lot of challenges no matter what. I mean, the roads, the just a lot of the logistics. It's just a lot of things are legal but aren't right, if you know what I mean. It's just, but it's not a good spot. And along with farming, I run a guide and outfitter business. I have for 28 years down there. It's we've always promoted Gage County and Beatrice. I've attended outdoor shows back east, always took long Main Street Beatrice brochures and Gage County tourism things, and just tried to be good ambassadors for the area. I know always host teams for a governor's hunt. I know Eric has hunted with me down there on certain teams that I've guided. And he knows the proximity from the farms to the road, that 176 road. And if they do include it as a route to haul the nutrients, that's going to take about 800 acres out of what I hunt, family-owned and my own owned ground, out of my operation, simply for the fact that hunters don't want to have their expensive and good dogs getting that close to the road. It's a danger to them. And just to say back, I mean, there's traffic there now, but nothing like what would be, you know, observed, you know, with all that extra traffic. The road is designed rural, local, is what it is. Never designed for this kind of traffic. Yeah, there could be improvements made to it.
1 minute, sorry.
But it's still not going to be really what it takes to support this kind of activity. And that's, like I say, one of my biggest concerns. Mr. Schuler told me that he went to and observed a hog place back in Iowa, and he knows I have my hunting business. He says, Greg, there's saw turkeys going around there. It'd be hard to convince guys that's a good experience to go hunting turkeys around a hog house. I just don't see that happening, really. That I don't think they'll come back another year, you know, just for that simple fact. But I think deer hunters be across the road to the north and to the west. I can't say for sure, but I'm sure it's not going to enhance the deer hunting there and stuff, too. And it's – we take, on an average, last 28 years, 41 hunters a year. If each one of them spends $1,000, and most of them stay in Beatrice, if each spends $1,000 in the county, and I don't know what the multiplier is anymore, if it's $3 for every one spent or seven, but you put that 41 times that many people and per year, yeah, over the last 28 years, close to $6, $7 million we've silently or quietly put into the economy of this county. And that would be cut in third, my whole operation for that, so. Any questions?
All right. I don't see any questions. Thank you, Greg.
Yep.
Patty Barnard.
Barnard, 41928 South 176th Road, Liberty, Nebraska.
Can I get you to raise your right hand? Do you swear and affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth to help you God?
I do. What would you do if there was like 6,249 head of hogs and 15,000 or 15,600 head of nursery swine set up shop right across from the street from you at your home? The smell would assault your family totally, I know. Well, this is what is going to happen with us. I am very concerned about the health issues of it. I have a daughter-in-law that's in the health profession, and she's gotten me some information. And the health issues that have worsened because of living near a CAFO, I mean, it's not healthy at all. I myself have asthma. Sonia Rule and her son both have health issues. And we live just shortly over a half a mile from this manure pit wall. living a half a mile, if you live one and a half miles from a CAFO, it is said that there is increased of allergies, lung allergies, asthma, and when compared, other than compared to living if you're 5 miles away from a CAFO. The conclusion to this, CAFOs may be an important source of adverse air quality associated with all kinds of respiratory issues among rural residents living in close proximity to a CAFO. The nearest wall of my home is 2,950 feet from the southwest wall of that manure pit. I mean, really, would any of you want that? And Sonia and Chris, they're a half mile and 1 foot. This CAFO being proposed with us so close, we have visited numerous hog places. None of them have hog, are that close at all. There's no economic growth. They say that will help for Liberty, but it definitely won't. I can't see anybody taking a tour to Liberty to see a hog CAFO myself. So I guess in conclusion, I just think this site is totally wrong. There are so many factors between the health, the water, the soil, the roads. Our land value will go down. And can you honestly say that you would be okay if your house or family farm decreasing in value is less than what you or other generations have put into it? And I do not think any of you would want that. In conclusion, I'm sincerely hoping that you, as our county representatives, who we voted for to represent us, the citizens of Liberty, and considering the health and the well-being of the hog CAFO and how it will affect us, and absolutely not to this corporate pork producers, which they say they aren't, but this is what it comes down to, and they're destroying the traditional farmer. I really hope you look at all the information and give our thoughts, and our site is not right.
Does anybody have any questions for Patty? Gary?
Patty, you gave us quite a bit of information here. Any additional points that you really wanted to point out inside of this? Or, and my two questions. And my second question is being 2,950 feet from that facility, I know there's grandkids that frequent your farm. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other concerns or whatever?
Also,
with
yes,
your grandkids
because
and being out there at your farm.
Where the site is, that waterway is going to go. It's gonna drain into our pond. That's where our cattle are. Our grandkids, they fish there. They spend a lot of time over there. They are kids hunt. We have four granddaughters that are just love deer hunting, and their boyfriends. And, I mean, it's going to spoil it all. That is not an area for it because you go to these others and there's a big area. We're 2,950 feet plus, 310 feet. So, I mean, it just is so close, you know. So, and outdoors, like they said, with the grilling, with anything. We have our from Burchard, we have, and it's not as big as this, we're 6 miles away, and we can, if the air is right, we can smell it. One night, Dick and I were out on the deck, and I thought, and then we'll have one just a little over half a mile. I don't think any of you would want that. And they say it doesn't smell, but if this is the first one going up in Hanover, how do you know? You don't know the information. They say it won't, but you haven't seen how it works. So that's my concern and question also.
Anybody else? Patty, you said that you visited other hog facilities. Did you get within a half a mile of them?
Mm-hmm.
Did you stand at different distances?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on
The one that we visited over by Burchard, which I said is not as big as this one's going to be, But I do have asthma, and I have a lot of respiratory trouble. We were in the truck. The air conditioner was going. We were maybe a quarter of a mile where it started, less than a half a mile. Or it was more than a half a mile, but we were right by the house. I was coughing. And I looked at my husband. I mean, I can't imagine what it'll be like when it's half a mile away from us. We visited the one that's being built in, which there was no hogs there in Jefferson County. We went by that, I think, two or three times. I don't know. I mean, it was in the process. We also went by another one over in Jefferson County. It was, you get a mile and you can smell everything. So,
was it the same type of structure, the under?
I don't know if that one was the first one that we smelled. I know the one that they're constructing now was, you know. I don't know. I just know that it did smell bad. And it does, you know, I just think all ways of it, it's not healthy. It's not the right place to be. If it was the right area, different, you know, and people aren't so close around.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don has a question.
Patty, as you know, I visited Summit Pork in Iowa. And these operations, it makes a difference on how well they're managed, and there's different types of operations. And I realize swine operations do smell. But in my visit to these, which there was no wind, it was very quiet, late afternoon, evening, we pull in the driveway, and I honestly could not smell anything or drive past them and could not smell anything. I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just mm-hmm. that I feel I need to state that in visiting Summit Pork Operations with this type of facility that's proposed to go in, didn't have any exterior earthen lagoons. All the pits is underground under the building, just as this one would be. And so that's what I'm comparing it with. I've been on hog operations. I did that in my career with NRCS, worked with animal waste. And I know what you're talking about. The management plays a big, big part of it. And in what I've seen, the management was done well there.
I still can't agree. I sent you a couple of articles that I found from Iowa. It was a completely different story. The mm-hmm. water was, they were the recreation areas. And I think if they took you to one, they probably took you to one of the better ones. Plus, and how can they, if they haven't built one of these, they can't say. They don't know. They haven't.
Well, they have built. What do you mean they haven't?
This is supposed to be a new one that they haven't.
It's a new design because of the dimensions of the building and how it is
Then why do why are there health professionals that say the health issues that can be created more? And there is this was amazing. I liked this when I came across this. Is it says, I gotta figure out where it was. I liked this quote, and I really thought it came to this. It was, I think it fits our situation very well. First in time, first in right rule. Okay, I've just put it. We, the citizens of Liberty, have been down there all these years in this small community, and this is not the place to put it, a hog facility like that. And it just seems like it's not going to better our pockets for anything. Summit's going to get the money. We're not getting anything out of it. We're actually losing money on it from our property going down. So I guess that's, it's not just the smell. It's everything else, you know, that it's doing. There's no, it's not going to make Liberty bigger. It's not going to cause or create a recreation place. It's hurting our community. That's what it's doing. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Thank you, Patty.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Barnard. Oh, I see no. Thank you. Vicki White.
Hello, I'm Vicki White, 48105 South 190th Road, Liberty, Nebraska.
I have raised your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Thank you. Well, pretty much everybody's saying what I had written down, so I'm not going to reiterate on that, but I want you to take a look around this room and just see how many of us are opposing it and for what reasons we're opposing it. And we're hoping that you're going to hear us. And that you haven't been influenced and lobbied by this large corporation that will ruin our water, our health, our way of life, and lessen our property values. It's when we're out of safe, clean drinking water and these CAFOs have polluted our groundwater, creeks and lakes, made our roads and bridges unsafe, polluted our air, exposed us to potential health risks. Will you not have been complicit in letting this happen if you vote for this thing? There's nothing good that comes out of it. And it's not just about the hogs either. It's about our most critical element, our most valued resource. It's our water. And we, the people, care the most about what we care the most about. I don't think Summit Pork could care less. They have their own agenda. So we're asking you not to cave to this corporate capture by Summit Pork by throwing your good, hard-working people into their pig pit. We are asking that you don't give us over to this out-of-state and county corporate whose main objective is to exploit a loophole in our livestock-friendly law and to take our water. Democracy won't mean anything if you vote for this against the wishes of the people of Gage County, Liberty, and Island Grove Township. We are asking you to vote no to this permit. Do the right thing for your own local citizens. And I thank you for any consideration on this. And that's it.
Thank you. Does the board have any questions? All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Brian Boyanko.
Got it.
Yes.
Brian Boyarko, 708 Warren Street. Liberty, Nebraska.
All right. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes. Okay. So the first problem with CAFO begins with the first word, which is concentrating. When you put massive amounts of these animals in such a small place, it creates an intense point source demand on the roads, on the water, and it also is a point source generator for the air. And there's a lot of disadvantages in just that. It creates a lot of engineering problems that you might be able to help to mitigate. Now, our summit representative said that their facility is going to be state-of-the-art. I disagree. I think it's yesterday's technology. To me, it's obsolete even, I will go as far as to say, because if it was state-of-the-art, it would incorporate a digester, and it would try to reclaim methane, and it would reduce past pathogens, and it would reduce odors by an enormous factor, and there's no possibility of taking this deep pit construction and ever retrofitting. Well, I'm not going to say there's no possibility, but it would be at great expense to actually retrofit a methane digester that you might use in the future with this kind of construction. So you're getting an obsolete system, in my viewpoint. Okay, the other thing I just quickly wanted to say, the folks in my community, and especially the close-in ones, they get no benefit for any of this whatsoever. There's no compensation at all, and they're the ones that really are going to suffer with this. You know, their families aren't going to want to visit them at Thanksgiving or any time for that matter. All their outdoor activities are going to be curtailed. They might have a good day where they're able to do stuff, but, you know, it's hard to plan things. And it affects their lives at such a personal level that it's something that they at least would have to be compensated for. And I think this is a bad idea to put this in. I think CAFOs in general are a bad idea. A director of manufacturing once told me that you don't have to have a conscience about a business decision. And I think I heard that and I thought that's really degrading to me, because we're better than that. We can have a conscience. Money shouldn't be the final deciding factor.
Does anybody have any questions for Brian?
Nope.
You talked about that methane
That's
thing.
Right.
Do they actually make something like that now, currently?
Yes. Yes, there
in
are.
In the hog operations?
Yes. Smithfield has them in all their systems. There's a Roseline, a company in Missouri that has those systems, and they're funded. They're funded by the IRA. Did anybody see Tim Smith's presentation from the NDEE yesterday? He gave a third. I did. I watched. I went on. It was like a webcast thing. I went on it 37 minutes, and they were talking about how they're going to arbitrate for $4.2 billion that they're going to be getting from the federal government for use in projects throughout Nebraska that encompass basically everything. But a small project like this digester would fall under their Tier E, and there's $100 million sitting there. They will fund a digester project, but I'm not for it. I don't think, this operation, even with a digester, is a good fit for Liberty. It changes the fundamental character of that area, and I think that's what people really feel deeply in their souls on this. So,
that answers my question. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Max Larson.
Max Larson, 16982 East Pine Road, Liberty, Nebraska.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. I don't envy the position you people are put in, being asked to vote for something that an entire community is not in favor of. I've been reminded of economic value. Yes, there will be some in the beginning, but I fear Summit's profits will go to Summit and go to Iowa. Livingston's profits will go to Livingston and Jefferson County. I see very little for Gage County. There'll be some. I hope it's enough to pay for the roads and bridges for the county. I hope there's enough for the township to grade the roads, and it will need grading. We're talking about a road handling several hundred semis a year that I won't drive after rain in my pickup. I could, but I don't want to tear it up. I built a new house a few years ago, never dreaming my closest neighbors would be 6,000 hogs and a pit full of manure. Do you really think anybody else is going to build a new house down there, build anything new? So where there's a gain of economic value, there's also going to be a loss for the county also. I know about smell and hogs. I used to work for Midwest Livestock Systems. I was a delivery driver. I've been to dozens of livestock facilities. They all had one thing in common. They all smelled. Some worse than others. I don't think I've ever been to one this large. And I have one question. The person from Summit spoke of this being a contained unit. I'm under the impression that poisonous gases are formed in the pit. Are those poisonous gases contained, and how are they contained? Perhaps he can tell us about that. I thank you for your time and your attention. If any questions, I will try to answer them if I can.
Does the board have any questions?
Thank you for your time, guys.
Mike Talent.
Michael Talent from Liberty, Nebraska, 704 Webster Street.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do. Says my main concern is the city water down there. We're 2 miles away, and we have our own city wells. The nitrates have already went up in the level. It's not because of that, but it's just in time they're going to get higher, and that's going to add to it several years down the road. And, you know, it just, you've heard all about the water and everything. That's the main discussion I have. And it's, I plan on living there for the rest of my life. I just don't want to see that small town go down. As you can see, small towns matter. So don't destroy it.
Does anybody have any questions for Mike? All right, we don't see any. Thank you, sir. Mark Whedon.
Mark Whedon, 13287 East B Line, Blue Springs.
Can you raise your hand, please? Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Thank you. I'm the clerk for Island Grove Township Board. I would like to state first, it was said earlier that we would not agree with anything. We were advised by our attorney not to enter any agreement of any kind with Summit until the board itself had voted, because there was actually nothing we could gain from signing such an agreement. All the board members have been residents of the township for more than 50 years. I myself have been on the township board for more than 32 years. While none of us have a degree in engineering, we don't know the first thing about construction of a road, we do know how to maintain a road. And this practical experience that we have has been generated over the last however many years we've been on the board. I myself have run the motor grader to remove snow for more than 32 years. I have operated the grader for about 12 to 15 years to maintain the roads. And I can tell you that while this, the engineer came and said that the road itself was good in the condition that it was in on that day, we've had plenty of experience on the other 364 days of any given year that things can go south in a hurry. We've seen snow that we had from that particular road where we had to take a week to remove drifts. We've seen mud so deep that four-wheel drive pickups couldn't get up and down it, let alone a semi-loaded hogs. The point of the hill to the south is so steep that you can't see an oncoming car until you are at the top of the hill. That road would need to be cut down if we are going to go so far as to make it up to state standard in order so that it would be safe for the traveling public. As has been said before, this site might meet the requirements set forth by the state and even by the county, but that doesn't make it the right place. Thank you.
Does the board have any questions? No? Thank you, sir. Steve McDowell.
Steve McDowell, 506 Warren Street, Liberty, Nebraska.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Thank you. Okay, we're going to talk quickly. I only got 3 minutes. Economic development for the Village of Liberty, which is, consists of 30-some people. There's 4 people out of the Village of Liberty work, go on that road 3 times at least a week. All year, like Mark just said. Not the day that the engineer or whatever, whoever went over it when it was nice and dry, but when they go over it in the winter, in the rains, and the road's bad. They had hog confinement and semis going over the same road. It's totally ridiculous. I'm going to be close to 74 in 2 months. I plan on working until I die. I enjoy work. That's why I took this job, and I plan on going it. I don't plan on getting stuck in a rut from a semi that has gotten stuck and tore up the same road that the township really can't afford to fix up. You're asking them to overburden themselves. The economic development for the Village of Liberty is air pollution. Is that economic development? Is it road deterioration, both on that 176 road and the Village of Liberty? Are the property values, they're not going to go up because of this. Obviously, another house is not going to be built next 6,000 hogs. And the smell. I want to talk a minute about the smell. I was on the corner out here with a sign, and a semi come up with loaded with hogs. I smelled that. How many of these hog trucks are going to come through Liberty with loaded pigs? You're not going to smell that? They've got a plan for knocking that smell down? I don't believe so. There's going to be some smell factors involved. Safety concern, that's my biggest concern here, is the traveling on that road. Somebody's going to get hurt on this road just due to the increased traffic. And that's the bottom line to me. I'd hate to see that happen. Anybody, driver of the semi, a young person driving through there, the road's dark. I go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning. This road is actually dangerous. It's scary to me. I couldn't pass the bridge with a UPS truck going through it the other day. I stopped. I wouldn't attempt to pass a semi-load of hogs in bad weather conditions on this road without pulling over, maybe at the expense of getting stuck. And that's what I like to address right there. Safety concerns are my biggest factor. Please don't let anybody get hurt on these roads. That's all I ask. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Steve? Thank you, sir. With that, we are going to take a 5-minute bathroom break. Did I miss it?
So late.
We're going to take a bathroom break here at 10:42. All right, we will reconvene at 10:53. Next on the list is Ashley Mason. While she's working her way up here, I want to thank everybody for remaining respectful during this process.
Let me find my notes. Ashley Mason, 1300 Lincoln.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. I just want to start by addressing Dean Otto and his team. I applaud your continued effort to strong arm the board. Now with your Ricketts Law Office representative here to guide you, it's definitely not showing the board or any of the residents that you are trying to be a good neighbor by continuing to pressure them with this law. Supervisors, this community in Liberty has clearly shown they do not want this. As a board, you're required to consider the impact any permit will have on the surrounding neighbors, especially special use permits like this one. You took an oath to protect the people. Your oath is not extended to corporations, but to individual people who elect you. How will it impact health? How will it impact roads? How will it impact the locals? It is very clear this will not be a positive impact for the people, the surrounding community, or Gage County. You have a lawful obligation to uphold your oath first and foremost. These people have provided you with numerous reasons to lawfully vote this permit down in the future. Your attorney has stated in the past that you need 3 reasons to vote no to avoid possible legal issues later. That's poor advice. You only need 1. This community has given you, at a minimum, 5. You have plenty of reasons to vote this special permit use down. Do not allow the strong arm of a corporation to push you to vote against your constituents. Vote according to your constituents' majority and according to your conscience. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Steve goes.
Steve goes, 502 Windsor, Liberty, Nebraska.
Have you raised your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I've lived in Liberty for about 30 years. I don't want to see a change. I don't want to have to get up in the morning and walk out and have smell hogs. the people that live really close are going to smell it. I'm a farrier as well, and I travel a four-state area. Customers of mine where there's hog units in the state of Iowa say they can smell them 7 miles away. I don't want to have to smell it every morning. I'm a mile and a half. And I don't think you guys would want it in your backyard either. Thank you.
Does the board have any questions for Steve? Thank you, sir. Bob Ryan.
I think that looks like an H. I'm not sure.
Sorry if I got that one wrong.
Ryan.
Bob Ryan, 37452 South 134th Road, Blue Springs.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Okay, as far as expense, it's going to be tremendous. Island Grove, the county, surrounding townships, the amount of rock it's going to take to put a base in. Future to the Liberty Blacktop, part of the blacktops in on the route. That's going to be down the road. Expense taking care of that. As far as truck traffic, we got plenty of truck traffic, but when the weather's bad, it's non-existent. There's no existent. I mean, and the trucks loaded 80 to 90,000 pound trucks. You get them off the side of the road, you're in trouble. I mean, you got to meet somebody. There's issues there. And as far as the bridge, just north of the site, Wolf Creek, as Nebraska Department of Transportation load tested it 2001, set it at 32 ton, and as of, far as of 8:15 this morning, that was the same load limit on that bridge. I can tell you a lot of other expense as far as trucks, meeting a 3/4 ton pickup with an 80,000 pound semi, center of gravity is a heck of a lot different on that 80,000 pound truck. Any questions?
Board have any questions? All right. Thank you, Bob. Janet Rule.
Janet Rule, 60619710 Road, Liberty. And yes, I do.
I think I have to read it anyway. But do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth to help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay. When you swear to tell the truth, does that pertain to just your name? Or is that everything that you say? Because what they say is not what is written in the permit. Do you know that a lot of the facts contradict each other? For instance, they will say they will stay 100 foot away from tile risers. Turn a couple pages. It says, at their discretion. If they stay 100 foot away from tiles and risers, they don't have enough land. May I say, starting to the people who have nothing to gain, start listening to the people who have nothing to gain. There are a lot of people here that do have something to gain. But if you go to Iowa, don't go to the CAFOs. Go to the neighbors. Go to the people that don't have anything to get from this. See what they have to say. It'll be a whole different story. Don says it doesn't smell. It's a bed of roses. With roses come thorns. That's they. If you agree to this permit, you're agreeing to everything that's in it. That's enough to make your toes curl. That's how they win their cases. They push it through, hoping nobody reads a book. I have a feeling if it was to be investigated, you'll find that's the case of a lot of the other ones that have already been put up. We have little water, and they want to give it to the pigs and contaminate the rest. The Lord knows the truth, and you cannot lie to him. The time is coming. One person is responsible for taking the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses and the schools. Look what's happened to our country. If you have questions, ask my husband.
That's pretty good.
That was a mic drop, I think.
Yeah.
That's cute.
No pressure. Clinton Rule is next. Your questions have now doubled.
So does Janet's question count for his 3 minutes of time?
If you have any questions, ask her.
Yeah. It's usually how we hear it. So, all right, can I get your name and address?
My name's Clint Rule, 60619 7 10th Road, Liberty, Nebraska.
Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. I had several conversations with the NDE, and a lot of them were about what they're going to do in case of a catastrophic event like they have talked about, like a wet fall. And the center pivots come up, of course. And it was mentioned that if they do get allowed to do the center pivots, they hope they would not put it on frozen ground because it will not absorb it. It will all run off. I said, well, how are they going to monitor how much gallons they put on per acre? They said, well, these center pivots nowadays got meters on them, tells you how many gallons you're putting on per acre. They also have the ability to shut off the end guns when needed. And if you look at these center pivots, they're pretty basic, pretty minimal, and they're very old. I don't think they have the ability to turn off the end guns and that. All these sites are very fragile environmentally. All three of them have state lakes, NRD ponds, or streams that run through them. And the permits themselves are, there's a lot of discrepancy on them because there's not a lot of accuracy in how they applied for them. The first one, it says it's Alms Island Grove, but it says the zip code is 68318. That's not Liberty zip code. And then when we got our map from Gage County Planning and Zoning, it doesn't show the proper location of the hog farm itself. And on the Form C applicant disclosure, it calls it Alms Gage Hanover 25. I don't know where that one is. And then as we go through here on the pages, it said manure will be injected or incorporated into the soil if management feels it necessary. Well, if they don't feel it necessary, they'll put it in the center pivot, it sounds like to me. It says if weather does not allow land application, stockpiles of manure will be managed as necessary by strategic placement, berms, and or other means to prevent discharge until stockpile is utilized for application. If they're going to have a 180-day storage in this facility, they're going to have to take half of it out. That'll be almost 1 million gallons. How are they going to store this on a wet year? What are they going to do with it if they can't incorporate it? None of these catastrophic events have been talked about or how they're going to handle them. And it says setbacks from surface water and wells are indicated on the maps. 100-foot setbacks are maintained from concentrated surface water drainage, streams, wells, and inlets unless a 35-foot vegetative buffer exists, and then you still have to have a 35-foot buffer to make it sufficient. And the letter from the Lower Big Blue that I read it last time I was up here, it said, ultimately the district seeks
adheres to the nutrient management plan such that the contamination of groundwater and surface water is reduced or prevented entirely.
Sir, real quick, that was your time. Do we have any questions from the board? Gary?
What was the finish of your question there, Clint, that you were just working on?
Okay, this one here says, site-specific conservation practices may be implemented at the discretion of management. This may include appropriate setbacks or equivalent practices to control runoffs or nutrients. It's up to their discretion.
I have a quick question. Lisa, I have my pile over there, but there's no way I can go through it that fast. Can you tell me the conditions that came from planning and zoning again?
So number one was to inject only except in catastrophic events.
That's a wet year.
And then the second one was the three monitoring wells. And then the third one was the placement of two rows of trees along 176th Road, 15 foot apart, placed alternately.
So the previous one we had more rows of trees. What was the difference here?
So the difference, as I recall, the commission drawing attention to, they were looking at the mapping and the existing trees to the north. Also to the west, so they were acknowledging the trees that were already in the area, and also to the south.
Are those trees to the north? Are they trees within the right of way?
No, they're the creek. Yeah, it's highly
okay. I think on the other one we had, if they were to surface apply, I guess we can ask this question later, having a good neighbor agreement within a half a mile of someone's home.
The P&Z did not include that in there. They just kept that as the, you know, injected only, except in emergency or catastrophic events.
Okay.
And then that would be the center pivot.
I would consider anything other than inject a surface application, so...
What is their catastrophic event remedy? It's the center pivot.
I believe that came up last time too, and they can correct me if I'm wrong later, but I think that's if it's going to surpass the level of containment that they have currently.
It has to go down to 180 day before winter time, so they have to take out half of it. That's 1 million gallon.
Well, they have 100, they have over 180 days. They'll have over a year storage.
Right.
Yeah.
They have to go down to 180 day storage at fall. So they have to take out right at 1 million gallons before winter starts. And if it's a wet fall, what are they going to do with that 1 million gallon slurry? That'll be the center pivot time. And there is a residence right there.
Surface applying of some sort.
Right.
Whether center pivot or...
Well, they got three center pivots there, so that would be the best and easiest way to do it.
There's center pivots... Where?
On site one to site two that dump into Rockford Lake and across the road.
Oh, okay.
Why don't we just ask them?
They'd have to truck it to the pivot.
Right, and that's an old dairy farm. They have old lagoons there from the dairy farm, and that'd be a good place to put it, and they just suck it out and put it on the center pivot. And there's a residence right there that's going to get his house spray painted by this, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do they have to get a permission from the state or the county in the event of a catastrophic event to... do something aside from what's in the regulation?
I would just ask for nutrient management to Andy Schulting to answer that. He's familiar with those applications and the requirements for that. But
we'll kind of make notes of those and have them come up at the
okay.
end. But they will with the surface application and the catastrophic. We'll bring them back up to clarify
okay.
that.
In that process, if like Clint. Has questions, is he going to be able to ask those questions when they're rebutting then?
And it says right here, 12,467 gallons of manure per acre to be applied over a five-year period. So if they're putting on 5,000 gallons an acre in 2.5 years, they got to quit for 2.5 years.
So if they got a 10-year period, they can only apply this for 5 years. Because it says right here for, on their phosphorus application, 12,467 gallons of manure per acre to be applied over a 5-year period. So they can only use this ground 5 out of 10 years.
That might be the best. Might be well, best. Still hot.
Well, that's a question for Andy to
answer. Yeah, Andy, we're going to let him come up so that we can answer your questions and then make sure we can answer your questions following. So, Andy, would you come up, please?
These guys are pulling stuff out of different sections.
Yes, and it's all standard stuff.
Yeah.
It's just.
Okay.
We're very sworn in, so continue.
Okay. Which specific question would you like me to address?
I guess first part would be with surface the surface application. Obviously, I would consider pivot application, surface application, not direct inject. So what would quantify a catastrophic event? And with the clearing out of the manure, answer those kind of questions, please.
Sure. So the gentleman is correct, is that the permit requires to restore 180 days of manure storage. These pits under the the finished swine numbers, which is the most restrictive, we have 395 days of storage in the pit. So the autos are highly motivated to empty this pit in the fall. It's heavy soils. We don't want compaction. In general, fall application is preferred by all. What would define catastrophic is if there's absolutely no opportunity to land apply by injection prior to frost, and then we have a full pit. What are we going to do? I've seen this once in 18 years of myself in this profession. So what defines that is the decision: is it better to land apply on the surface, or is it better to let the pit run over? And in almost every circumstance, catastrophic plan is to land apply, deal with odor, deal with those issues rather than letting the pit run over right into the creek. So that's the decision. At that point, surface application is permitted by the state operating permit, but we know that it's not permitted in the proposed conditions. And my understanding of the proposed conditions would certainly include notification to the county of those conditions and the plan to surface apply. That's my understanding. That is not required at the state level, but would be required by your condition. So
that in the first application, you said you were not going to apply for a pollution permit. There's a fancy name for it. I don't remember.
Yeah, the MPDS permit.
That one.
Right.
Are you applying for that? Do you plan to apply?
No. That is a plan to discharge. Because this site is completely housed and under roof, and we have 395 days of storage, we can very, very confidently say that this is a no-discharge operation. It will absolutely be illegal for this operation to discharge, and all parties involved are very comfortable knowing that we're not going to discharge.
And could be a condition that
right.
will not ever...
So in context of your question about the MPDS permit, the state requires that primarily only for open lot feedlots because they are completely at the exposure of the elements, meaning everything's outside, the animals are outside, the manure is outside, the pens are outside, and their permits require them to store a 25-year storm, which in most of eastern Nebraska is a 5 to 5.5-inch rain. So when it rains 6 inches or 7 inches, they have no capacity to store that, and therefore they have an MPDS permit to discharge in that event that goes beyond a 25-year storm. If it rains 7 inches on this facility, there is no rainwater involved. There is nothing coming into the pit. It is all under roof. We're not storing any rainwater or processed wastewater, so that's why there is no MPDS permit.
Who owns the tree line to the north?
So Aaron Hendricks and then the Singleton Farms, I believe, if I remember right.
So can we guarantee that tree line will always be there during the life of the facility?
Aaron is not here, I don't believe, but he has been notified, and then Singletons are here, so I hear that would probably speak.
Okay, I'll ask that later. Thank you. Clinton, you can come back up when you finish yours.
She put me on the spot.
She did say you got the questions. So does that answer anything? Do we have any follow-up, Gary?
So under no circumstances will they put it to the center pivot then? Is that the way I understand it?
Only during a catastrophic event.
So statistics show that at least 2 out of 10 years can be a wet fall. And would that mean that a first snowstorm could be catastrophic because they can't go out and apply it? I mean, he mentioned a 100-year flood or whatever, but I can remember many, many falls where it doesn't just dry. I mean, the snow comes Halloween, and it doesn't leave till spring. It's a catastrophic event. Statistics show that it's not going to happen once every 100 years. It's probably more like 2 out of 10 years.
Those are, I think he said, too, they have to go to the state for that, too, as well. And he said 1 in 18 years. So, and I do. There is always a potential for that, and we try to mitigate that with our conditions, too. So okay, we can ask more questions here. We got a couple weeks to kind of get through that information. So.
Because when I talked to NDE, they did say that center pivot was an option. They just had to have the gallon meters on there to know how many gallons they was putting on per acre. And then they would have to have an end gun shut off so that they could shut it off for the wells and that. But I said, well, there's streams on site number two. How? Well, they're going to have to shut it off before it goes. I said, they can't do that because they'll only be able to run about part of a circle. There's no way they can do them fields like that. So, but it's up to their discretion, it says. It says right here, it's up to the management's discretion whether or not they want to stay away.
I'll do some more looking on that here in the next couple weeks. Do you have anything else for us?
That'll be it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Brian Vertiska. Oh, I'm sorry, you had said no, but
that's fine.
Called you anyway.
31541 South 120th Road, Holmesville, Nebraska.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. We have two properties. One's our home that we moved to. We wanted to find a nice place to raise a family. The other property is a mile, plus or minus, depending where you're at, to the north of the confinement building. We bought that property for farm ground or for hunting, and there is a little farm ground there too. But our main purpose was to have an enrichment place for our children to hunt and enjoy nature. Southeast Gage is a wonderful place to have that quiet opportunity, and that's why we moved there. I see that bringing in an operation like this would hinder the opportunity we set to seek out before we began our journey. I have two children, 13 and 8, that like to go down to the creek and play in Bloody Run Creek. We always say to let our kids be out in nature, not behind a controller or inside, and again, that would potentially hinder the ability for them to enjoy life and nature as we've encouraged. We also have a well that's very near the area site by Rockford Lake that the water goes into Bloody Run Creek. Our well is a 40-foot deep well that is plus or minus 100 feet from the creek. It's a minimal well, very low, so concern of well or of the water would be also an issue there. The hunting ability of enjoying nature at the other farm on any good south wind that Nebraska has would be a big concern for me also. And that's all. That's my main concerns.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Any questions?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep. You're welcome.
Don Wade. Name and address first, please.
Pardon?
Name and address first, please.
Don Wade, 706 Wayne Street, Liberty.
Okay. Raise your right hand, please. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Well, okay. I'm sorry. By the way, am I the last one?
No.
No. Okay. Well, I wish I had gotten in here earlier because... let me explain where I come from. I'm not a native Nebraskan. I didn't grow up here. I moved here to retire. I'm a cabinet maker by trade. I guess I should have put, now I'm an expert on hogs. So there you got, have it. But and I'm reluctant to say where I come from or where I grew up, but you can probably tell from my accent, as I've been told, that I talk funny. Okay. I have the solution to this problem. You folks have wasted most of your time. I got the answer to it. I have the answer to this problem. I'm the only guy in this room that has an answer to this problem. Done deal. Finished. I was sitting in front of my computer thinking, and I said to myself, well, I'm in Nebraska. Let me see. Wonder how many acres are in Nebraska. And I went on Google, and I didn't believe it, so I went on Google again. And after the third time, I discovered that there's 49,503,000 acres in Nebraska. 49 million. I don't understand, out of 49 million, why Mr. Otto can't find some other place to have his hog operation. Why does it have to be in an area where people are affected? The road isn't that great. The Village of Liberty is going to have to do something about the roads. We maintain our own roads. Now, Mr. Otto farms, I understand, 11,000 or more acres. Maybe I'm incorrect. And he can't find a place for 500 acres except right north of Liberty. Six families are affected. The roads are crap. The village is going to have to maintain their road. One guy says you're going to have problems with the lake. You're going to pollute the lake. The game around here, people probably won't come to hunt turkey or hunt deer. Maybe. And they're going to employ 2 to 3 people. Whoa. Holy cow. That's good. So that's my question. Why does it have to be here? The solution is somewhere else. Simple. And I'm not saying that just because it's near me. I'm saying that because it's near my neighbors and me. Like I say, the Village of Liberty maintains their own roads. So you're going to start running these semis through Liberty. We're going to have to maintain our roads. I can't even get the chairman of the Village of Liberty to deliver stone so we can repair our roads.
Your time's up, sir.
Okay. Any questions?
Does the board have any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Steve Mitchell. I did see it did say no to speak, so just double checking before we move on. Not there? All right. Kurt Barnard. We'll come back and just double check before we're done. Larry Kisa.
I have to excuse me, I didn't bring a lawyer down from Lincoln and a big pile of papers to look impressive, so it's just me and this piece of paper.
Okay.
Larry Husa, 1235 East Plum Road, Liberty, Nebraska, Mile Ave, downstream.
Okay, you raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Yep.
All right. First, second question for all of you. Do any of you live within 10 miles of this proposed facility? Of course, I already know the answer. The answer is no. So, it really doesn't affect you, does it? Think in your minds, how would you feel if this was within 10 miles, 5 miles, a half a mile of where you live? Think about that. And don't think it's not going to happen, because you look at the way these companies operate, they keep putting more and more and more in until they inundate an area, and then they move on, like they did from Missouri, North Carolina, Minnesota, Iowa, et cetera, et cetera. So don't think falling over or laying over for this one is going to be the end of it. You'll ruin this county, and you'll ruin places by where you live. All right. Enclosed. The person earlier mentioned the word enclosed. The manure would be totally enclosed, I believe was a quote. That's wrong. One of many discrepancies. Look up the definition of the word enclosed. It means completely sealed. If you're completely sealing it, how's the manure getting in and how's the manure getting out? One of many discrepancies, they were mentioned by other people, many things where they have lawyer outs, no offense, but lawyer outs so they can do it if they want, when they want, how they want. No definite rules on how things are to be done. You read through this paperwork and it's chock full of them, of outs for them, gray areas that they can manipulate and use to their advantage. Not ours, not the county, and sure as heck not the people that live around here. They go in a lot of flowery speeches from the proponents about how perfect it is and everything. Donnie, you said you saw a facility. Did you just show up at the facility, or did you call them ahead of time, and did they invite you?
I expressed that I wanted to see the facility months in advance, but okay. I did not set up a time, and I wasn't sure that I would get to. But then, like a week ahead of making the trip, I made arrangements.
Okay. So that would have given them plenty of time to clean the place up.
Yeah.
Potentially. I'm not saying it happened. Potentially. I'll give you an example. I worked at Exmark for a lot of years. One time OSHA was coming through, and I was in the weld booths. And this is the truth. The booth ahead, I was in, they were the booth behind with the OSHA guy, and they were fixing things in my booth. And then as he came to my booth, directly behind there, they were putting stuff back the way it was. That's the truth. All right. I need glasses. I really do.
Here's mine.
Yeah, wouldn't hurt. Okay.
Time's
respect
up.
To the first meeting. What's that?
Time's up.
Really? Already?
3 minutes flies by.
Wow, that's interesting. I'm curious, do the proponents have the three-minute rule as well?
If they're speaking, not the applicants, but yes, anybody speaking for it will have the 3 minutes.
Okay. Yep. Well, one thing I just would like to add, you did mention a couple times about how the appreciated people being respectful and everything and hope that they would do it and such as that. I'd just like to point out that any disrespect or a fair percentage of it anyway that may have occurred in prior meetings occurred the first meeting I went to when a certain individual is for it, severely downgraded in public, a person that was standing up to talk against it, severely put him down. So the bar was set there by the person that's for this. And they're going to be trying to be a neighbor? I don't think so. And they're not going to be a neighbor, by the way. They're going to live up at Adams. They'll never smell this. We will. Any questions, answers, comments, thoughts?
I do.
Yes.
Larry, I did observe 30-foot tall trees, shrubs, established grass buffer strips along mm-hmm. the drains that they apply their mm-hmm. waste to, established lawns that would have taken years to establish.
And you're talking about a site in Iowa?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So in that regard, that couldn't have been done just days ahead of me being there. The amount of flies, the smell, on a hog operation, I think you'd need more than a week to clean it up to get rid of, just logically, to see what I saw.
Understood. But a person mentioned earlier, I can't remember who it was, they mentioned that the best thing to do is not to talk to the people that are for it or go to their site, but to talk to people that live around it, a 1 mile, 5 mile, 10 mile radius, and get their thoughts. Did you do that?
I didn't get a chance to do that. Okay. A lot of those people have their own hog operations. There's more than Summit Pork there.
Mm-hmm.
But, right, I did not get the opportunity to go to neighbors.
My point is, it's easy to clean up certain things mm-hmm. and make it look nice and make it smell nice for a visitor. I'm not saying it happened.
Aware of that.
It could happen. And I have seen it done in factories and different things like that. It's human nature to try to make things look good to promote what you want to get.
I've got pictures and videos. If anybody's interested in seeing them, I'd be glad to share them.
Okay. Anything else?
Board have any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is Pam Singleton. Dan. Dan? Sorry.
That's on me. That's on me, guys.
Definitely looks like a P on here. I apologize.
Yeah, that's all right. Dan Singleton, 13615 East Plum Road, and this is Izzy, my adopted daughter. I'll be speaking for her today, partly, unless she takes over.
Okay, raise your hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Okay, there's many things I could talk about today, but I'll get to it. I could talk about the floodplain that's within feet of this capo, but I'm not going to. I could talk about the tributary, Wolf Creek, that is within 1,000 feet of this capo that dumps into the Blue River, but I'm not going to talk about that. I could talk about how this permit is put together sloppily, but I'm not going to talk about that today. I could talk about this decommissioning plan that they say to have of hauling the manure out of that building. Well, why wouldn't they? It's worth money. They don't have a decommissioning plan. Okay? I could talk about change of ownership that we haven't even talked about. What happens if there's a change of ownership within this corporation? Who do you guys go to then? Who holds when this comes up? I'm not going to talk about that. We've heard lawsuits coming up. It goes both ways. Remember that. If there's a yes vote, there will probably be a lawsuit from what I'm hearing. Okay? So let's remember that. And I'm going to remind Don Schuler that this is going in your district, right?
Yes.
You sit in that chair because the voters put you in that chair. That's not your chair. That's the chair of the voters. Your opinion doesn't come into this other than one voter. Okay? We have not heard one person come from this district that's in favor of this. We have to remember that. You have to remember that. You work for us. You represent us. Don't forget that when it comes time to vote. There's recourse if you do. If you forget that, there is recourse that we can take as voters. You understand that.
And I understand. I have constituents that called me in favor of it, sir.
But they're not here. That's right. They're not here. Okay. And anybody can say that they call. Prove it. So what I am here to talk about is why I chose farming. I chose farming so that my children could be raised in the same lifestyle that I was, so that they could ride horses, ride bicycles, go hunting, go fishing.
Yeah.
Okay? And I own a property just north of this property against Dean Otto's property. And this farm is 65% to 70% hunting farm, trees. Okay, and our children hunted this farm, and now we also allow at-risk children to come down and hunt this farm. I could lease this thing out, but this is what we do. And when this hog facility comes in, the wildlife would be decimated on that farm. This won't happen again. Last year, my son took Izzy here, my adopted daughter, and she went deer hunting for the first time on this farm. That is her first deer. She also went turkey hunting. I have other people from up here in this town that takes high-risk children down to that farm so they can have that experience out there. They won't get that anymore when this hog capo comes in.
Time's up.
I have property rights too, just as Dean Otto does, okay? But he's going to destroy that for me because enough is not enough. Big enough is not enough. We have a problem here, okay? We have a problem.
We do have a time.
And there's a question you asked before that we'll get to. You said, will the trees to the north, will those trees remain?
That was going to be my question.
Okay. Will they remain? No, they're not going to remain because this is not going to be a hunting farm any longer. I have to pay property tax on this. I have to either it's a recreational farm and the trees remain or it's not. Those, as soon as you vote yes for this thing, my bulldozer is starting up too. Because I have to make something off this farm because it won't be a hunting farm any longer. So those trees will not remain. It's just the way it is. Anybody with a business head would understand that. So they won't remain. This is my grandson. I want him to be able to hunt on my farms. Won't happen when we allow these corporations to come in and destroy our way of life. The way of life that we've worked very hard for. If you're a farmer, you understand that. But it's going to be destroyed.
Well, thank you for answering my question. I was going to ask you that question because Lisa said that was the tree line that they were considering. So I guess since that wouldn't be a possible permanent, we would have to make sure we look at one that would be a permanent tree line as part of that. Does anybody have any questions, or did you want to say anything while you're up here? We're not as scary as we look.
I don't know.
They don't bite.
We don't.
I might, but they don't. I would just remind Dean Otto that in Proverbs 22:21, it says, a good name is to be chosen over riches. A good name. There's nobody that wants you down.
That's, sir, we're having you address us today here.
Yes.
So thank you.
We're addressing Dean Otto, too. Okay. Everybody is.
Well, the hearing is for information for us. Thank you.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Deborah Keir. It says no speaking, but I'm just going to give the opportunity. Would you like to speak? Okay.
Not today.
There was another one that did speak that wasn't going to. Sorry, I was catching up on my notes.
That's fine.
All right, name and address, please.
Deborah Keir, 109 South 10th, Wymore, Nebraska.
Okay, please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, I'm also here probably, my husband and I. Also, you're talking about those trees. Our son-in-law is the one that has the land right next, Aaron Hendricks. And it probably will make a difference for him also. He's a federal conservation officer, and he comes back and hunts on his land quite often, and I have no idea exactly what he will do or not do, but I also wanted to let you people know that you talk about the water and the NRD. They have no idea what's there for water and what isn't. Right now, the said creek is Wolf Creek. There is no water in there, none whatsoever. It is spring-fed. Everything is spring-fed. Our cattle are now gone out of the pasture already because there is no water. We're in a drought, and I don't know what they're going to use for water. Yes, they found water, but it's only a matter of time that will be used up. I'm 69 years old. I've been there my whole life, and yes, I live in Wymore, but we have cattle. We have been there. We go every day to go check them. I mean, you as a farmer know that. You have to check them. My mother's 93. She was born and raised there. And her first remark was, there's no water. What are they going to do? I mean, it's spring fed. You cannot make the water come. So that is just something that they need to think about. And I guess that's all I have to say. Any questions?
Is there any questions for her? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Roger, we have you down as not speaking. Do you want to say anything?
No, she said what I want to say.
Okay. Sounds good. We have Matt Helmke, but I think he meant to sign in under the other one. Okay. Chris Biscay. Say it right.
Close enough, yeah.
Okay.
Good morning. Chris Biscay, 9019 South 72nd Street, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth or nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, good morning, everybody. My name is Chris Biscay. Like I just mentioned, I work for the Alliance for the Future of Agriculture in Nebraska, which is an organization that was created by the commodity organizations in Nebraska to help support future development of livestock operations in the state, with the purpose of growing the demand for grains fed to animals to keep more economic vitality within the state of Nebraska and within local communities. I've got a little bit of information here that was put together by an economist at Nebraska Farm Bureau about, you know, the local impact and then the yearly impact per pig in this operation. So when you look at the local economic impact per hog, you're looking at $4.98 in manure value, $4.70 in tax revenue, 11 bushels of corn and 2.7 bushels of soybeans used every year. You know, that grain is going to come from the local area. It's going to come from local farmers. And I think that's an amazing thing that that livestock provides to a community is a direct demand for grain. You know, I think on the economic side of things, you know, there'll be a significant amount of impact on, you know, payroll as well as, you know, just overall impact to the local community. And I think the biggest attribute of this facility is, you know, if a landowner meets the setbacks and the regulations established by the community, it is his right or his or her right to do what they feel is appropriate on their own land. And so it's a landowner's rights issue, in my opinion. You know, there's a lot of amazing attributes that this facility will provide. You know, I know that the community of Liberty is very supportive of agriculture, and that's very telling when you drive through their community. And there's been a lot of amazing points brought forward by the community of Liberty. But I think all in all, if an individual has an opportunity to do something on their land, I think that's something that they should be afforded to if they meet the regulations set forth by you guys. So I appreciate your time and would be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Does the board have any questions?
Just timed that right. He must have been practicing.
Yeah. All right.
I don't. No practice, but.
Have you visited the site that they're looking?
I did. Yeah. Yep. Me and my counterpart, we drove by the site. We looked at it. It looks like a good site to me. I know that there's some hurdles that the community and the applicant have to get over, and I don't think that's impossible by any means. So. I've seen a lot worse, I can tell you that. Yeah, I am.
We're going to keep comments. As long as you're in the crowd, please stay quiet and respectful of the people that are up here. Thank you. If there's no more questions, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Steve Martin.
Good morning. Steve Martin, 25255 South 54th Street, Firth, Nebraska.
Raise your hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth or nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Thank you for the opportunity today. I want to talk a little bit just to introduce myself. Steve Martin with the Alliance for the Future of Agriculture in Nebraska. As Chris said, we work to grow the livestock industry in Nebraska, and when we look at that goal, it's really for the economic vitality of rural Nebraska. I want to take a little bit of a different angle at this in just talking about the nutrient management plans and looking at some of the research that University of Nebraska and Lincoln has done with their biosystems engineering team, which I think they have 7 people on that team studying how manure acts in the soil and what it does for the soil. Besides them, there's also land-grant universities across the nation that study this because it is something that we need to use and use wisely. One point directly is that this is not additional nutrients that are being put on this land. This is nutrients that are replacing existing commercial fertilizer. And when you look at the difference between organic fertilizer, which would be manure, it has a positive charge to it. Soil has a negative charge. Those two bind together. So right away, you've got holding capacity with the soil. That's not the same with commercial fertilizer, which also tends to be negatively charged. The other thing that happens is the soil biology starts to grow, and you have different things within the soil that start to aggregate soil particles, holding them together, creating a soil that's less likely to erode, has bigger pore spaces in it, which allows water infiltration and increases water holding capacity. And all of this has been studied, researched, documented through the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. And so when you look at it in a grand scheme, a better system in agriculture is to use manure for fertility than commercial fertilizer. Now, it's not possible in all aspects because we don't have that many livestock to cover the acres we have. But again, these are acres that are having fertilizer already put on them, whether it runs off, like if it's in the floodplain, that's a concern. But when you're putting manure on, less likely to run off, more likely to stay where it's put, and more accessible for the crops to use. And you're also putting it on at a regulated rate that is designed to be at the rate that the crops need it. So just to make up numbers, if the crops need 100 pounds of N, you're putting 100 pounds of N on. You're not putting 125 or even 101. So you're putting on what the crops are going to take up every year. You do that, and you also reduce, if there's no nitrogen left to run off, you don't have runoff. So with that, I guess I would just encourage you to approve this permit. It seems to fit all the regulations required by the county and the state. And again, we have gone by the site. Seems like a good site. So with that, any questions?
Does board have any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hayden Otto.
Hayden Otto, 255 State Highway 43, Adams, Nebraska.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth or nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. I'd like to start out. I'm from the Adams area. I grew up in Gage County, went to school in Gage County, and I hope to raise a family in Gage County as well. I'm Dean Otto's son, so I will be dealing directly with the manure, which is I really look forward to. It's something pretty cool that it can do for the crops, and we can't get that out of commercial fertilizer. I'd like to just speak kind of about Summit and why we chose to go with them. I talked to farmers in Iowa who do not deal with Summit. They don't get manure from them or anything like that, and they have spoke very highly of how they keep their sites up. I was really proud to hear that. Because it's not something that you would think about a hog farm. You don't think about them keeping the lawns mowed or stuff like that. So that's why we chose to go with Summit, very highly spoke of. I guess that's about all I got. I'm going to live in Gage County my whole life. I'm going to grow a family here. I go skiing at Rockford. And really, if we lose manure, that's money and nutrients down the drain. We don't want to do that, so... Do you have any questions for me?
Any questions from the board?
Thank you, guys. Thank you for your time.
Dean, I have you up next. Would you like to come up? Or do you know? Okay.
Time him because he's an applicant.
I like you. I put my jacket on.
It is cold. My hands are freezing. I need like little warmers.
Just a few of the comments that have gone around. We do have a hog building 1 mile from our house. It's five buildings outside, two outside lagoons. South of that building, we've had three houses been built in the last few years, some within a quarter of a mile. People aren't scared of because this facility by us does not stink, and it has outside lagoons. A mile away, we got a feed yard. We got a dairy we can see from our kitchen. We got chicken houses out the other door. We have livestock all around us. We just don't smell the livestock. It comes down to technology. Technology has changed. I don't farm like I did in 1990. If I did, I wouldn't be here today. This is one advantage to help bring in my son into the operation. To stay farming today, you got to find an edge. If you do everything the same as everybody else, it's tougher. You have to find an edge financially to keep going. And when you find that edge financially, if it is a financial edge and it hurts the neighbors, the financial edge won't be there. It always has to be good for everybody. Somebody might be upset you own a farm that they should have owned. but that's not a financial edge. This farm we have bought on a contract from the people. The reason we don't put the hog facility in a different area is because of the county's regulations and zoning. We only had two farms that would work on this zoning process. Again, it's about bringing my son back in. We're pretty excited for that opportunity. Any questions?
Does anybody have any questions for Dean? All right. We'll bring you back at the end if there's any additional. Thank you. Tracy Zimmerman. Can I get your name and address, please?
Tracy Zimmerman, 32741 South 162nd Road, Virginia, Nebraska.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth or nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm here to support my neighbors in their fight against the building of the hog confinement facility. I'm going to point out several important reasons that should be considered by the board before they vote on this issue. I'm against the building of the hog confinement for the following reasons. Well water. We've had a lot of discussion about that today. Have you considered the legal consequences of what could happen if the neighbor's wells run dry due to the consumption of water used at the hog facility? One of our local well contractors who's been in the business for 45 plus years has been warning people of dropping water tables. He even posted a picture showing a well pumpy pole that the water table had dropped over 12 feet. How can you vote yes to the possibility of running your neighbors out of water and affecting their livelihood? Our area is in a drought. There are many ponds that are still bone dry. We aren't getting enough moisture to replenish these water tables. That alone should make anyone nervous on this board about the viability of their neighbors' wells, much less water going to 60,000 plus head of hogs. Number two, devaluation of property. The current setback is not far enough away from the neighbor's property to not be adversely affected by the value of the property. I'm a licensed realtor. I would ethically have to disclose potential health odor issues to any buyer for an acreage that's listed for sale close to a hog facility. That is my fiduciary duty. This would ultimately lower the values of these properties significantly. I ask each of you, if this was your acreage, would you vote to yes to this hog facility? What if you had to put your property on the market next to this facility? Would you be willing to take a significant loss on your property? My guess would be the answer would be no. Would you vote to subjecting your neighbors and constituents to this? The people of Gage County strive to have a reputation for a county that is known as a friendly, safe, healthy place to raise family, not raising 12,000 plus head of hogs. If you want to build the hog confinements, that's fine, but change the setbacks. Set it back to 2 miles. You need to do something that you will not adversely affect your neighbors. Thank you. Any questions?
Do I have any questions for Tracy? Well,
thank you.
Austin Zimmerman. Name and address, please.
Austin Zimmerman, 1235 West Pine Road, Wymore.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Just a brief, short introduction of myself. So I grew up on a swine facility. Literally walked out my back door, across the yard, and did chores. Went to school as an ag engineer and currently stand as the general manager at Midwest Livestock Systems, which is slated to build the proposed barn. Here to answer any questions about the technology, the engineering, anything that goes behind the building. But first, I kind of wanted to just point out a few facts behind the economic impact that the barn can have for the community. So Midwest Livestock, we are a local builder located here in Beatrice. We would be using all local dirt movers, local concrete company, local lumber company, local electrical supplies, gas company, well driller,
et cetera. We pay local taxes. So just to put that in perspective, it is impacting quite a few jobs for this. There would be a 4-plus man crew to move the dirt, 12 man to lay the concrete, not including the multiple trucks that it would take to haul the concrete, mixing, et cetera. There would also be about a 16-man crew to frame the building, 12 jobs created for the equipment install, about 10 electricians, 4 gas installation crew. Midwest Livestock, we employ about 130 people, but that would include involved in this project would be sales, estimating, design, drafting, ventilation design, contracts, purchasing, billing, warehouse, delivery, site supervision, project management. In total, there's well over 100 different jobs created from the construction of this facility. And not to repeat too much of what Chris had already stated, but just a few bigger picture facts. So agriculture is the heart and soul of Nebraska. As the state's leading industry by far, the impact goes beyond the food on your plate. Thanks to the hardworking Nebraska farmers, agriculture contributes more than $25 billion to the Nebraska economy. Gage County is advertised as a livestock-friendly county. This is the livelihood of more than just a producer putting the pigs in the facility, as I mentioned before, for the amount of jobs and revenue that it creates. We may only be talking about one barn here, but we need to remind ourselves of the bigger picture. 925 million people worldwide are suffering from hunger. In the next 25 years, we need to produce 60% more food to keep up with the growing population. So obviously do more with less. If we can't do this in rural Nebraska, then where can we?
Does anybody have any questions for Austin? Right, thank you. Last but not least, Scott Sabatka. You are last.
All right. Scott Sabatka. I'm with the Lower Big Blue, NRD, 805 Dorsey Street, Beatrice, Nebraska.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do. I guess just to start things off, the Lower Big Blue, NRD, has no zoning authority, and the NRD remains neutral on this topic. I believe you all have copies of a memo submitted to the Gage County Planning and Zoning. Is that correct?
We all got it.
Okay, just to summarize that, the Lower Big Blue NRD, as provided by Nebraska Revised Statute 46735, requires a permit to commingle water wells for a permitted livestock feeding operation or livestock facility as outlined in Rule 5.4 of the Lower Big Blue NRD District Groundwater Quality Quantity Rules and Regs. On June 26, 2023, Otto Akers submitted and filed with the Lower Big Blue NRD permit application LBB 1153 to commingle two water wells designed and constructed to pump less than 50 gallons per minute for a permitted livestock facility. I guess just a note, the Lower Big Blue NRD shall not prohibit the drilling and construction of water wells designed and constructed to pump less than 50 gallons per minute as provided by Nebraska Revised Statute 46735, which states no permit shall be required for a single water well designed and constructed to pump 50 gallons per minute or less. Otto Akers complied with all rules and regulations of the Lower Big Blue NRD permit application process. On July 13th of 2023, at its regular monthly board meeting, the Lower Big Blue NRD's Board of Directors voted to approve permit application LBB 1153. This permit requires a device approved by the district shall be installed so as not to allow the pumping of the water wells simultaneously, or is not to allow the total capacity of each individual well to be greater than 50 gallons per minute. A flow meter shall be required and installed so as to measure the total groundwater use of the system. The district shall have the right to inspect the system's components, including but not limited to the infrastructure, water wells, and flow meters.
Okay. The board have any questions for Scott? Okay, thanks
Thank
for coming.
Thank you.
I'm going to circle back real quick just to make sure we had a Steve Mitchell and a Kurt Barnard. Just to make sure that we didn't miss them, they were on the sheet here. I would ask the applicants if they'd like to make any comments or closing statements.
Okay, Andy Schulting again. I have a few points that I want to point out, but I don't want to linger up here. So I guess I would open up the discussion about setbacks or this catastrophic event and surface application. It seems like there's maybe more questions. I want to make sure if there are any lingering questions or follow-ups about that, that I can provide some input.
Emily?
Don?
One question I have is about what Mr. Rule commented about it being in 5 years possibly being full of the nutrients and not being able to reapply there for several years. What are your comments on that?
Sure. So the total production of manure versus the acres that are in the current plan equals about a 3,500 gallon rate per acre, and it's a planned corn-on-corn rotation. Corn utilizes nitrogen, and when we apply the slurry manure, it's primarily being applied from a nitrogen standpoint. We have to ensure that the risk of phosphorus runoff doesn't exceed a high risk or a medium risk, but we're primarily planning on nitrogen. So this plan is written for corn-on-corn rotation. There's also various alternative crops listed in the nutrient management plan, such as soybeans, wheat, et cetera. So if there's a different crop that does not utilize nitrogen like corn does, then we would likely need more acres if we had a different rotation. So I think he was referring to the phosphorus risk assessment, which is about how much phosphorus can be applied. And over time, we will build phosphorus. If we look at the natural fertility of Southeast Nebraska soils, we're very deficient in phosphorus. So if we continue with this 500 acres, eventually the phosphorus risk assessment will tell us that it's time to move on to other acres. Until we get to that point, that will not be relevant and we'll continue to manage on a nitrogen basis. Or if Dean and Hayden determine they've increased production as much as they can and they want to implement some of those other 800 acres that they provided us to a list, then we would implement new acres into the plan. Does that make sense?
What assurance do we have that when that phosphorus level is reached, that another plan will be followed or developed?
Great question. So it is right in the state-approved nutrient management plan that they have to conduct soil testing, nutrient budgeting, and phosphorus indexing prior to application. We have to showcase that at an inspection on every single application of manure. ND has issued this permit. Therefore, they have stepped up and said, now it's our responsibility to hold this permittee accountable to all of the things they said they were going to do. They will inspect the site, and certainly nutrient management plan records, nutrient budgets, and phosphorus indexing is part of it. It's right on. I mean, if you searched on Google for an NDEE CAFO inspection form, you'll see the checklist. It's a 2 or 3 page checklist, and all of these things that we're talking about are right on their checklist that they inspect and validate upon inspection of a CAFO.
And then if additional acres are needed, those acres have to be submitted to the state?
Correct.
Do they also go to the county to approve? Maybe the state is...
It generally would not be a county approval for a new application site, but certainly if it's part of Dean's farm, as the applicant, it would certainly be required to modify and submit to the state to add land to the nutrient management plan.
Does the state inspect this annually or on a
Sometimes annually on a new facility. Sometimes it's the first couple of years. If everything is going well and they gain confidence, a lot of times it will gravitate to a 3 or 4 year rotation.
Okay. Thank you.
Does the state inspect those monitoring wells? I know that's something they didn't say that you needed that you're doing, but do they also inspect it? So it's by done by a third party?
Sure. So if the state requires a groundwater monitoring plan, then the plan is submitted to them. They have to approve the groundwater monitoring plan. And then the implementation of testing, monitoring, and reporting is all done with the state. The state does not test the wells. They rely on certified monitoring well technicians, third-party technicians to do that sampling. They rely on certified labs to test the water, and then those reports are sent to the state. Your question about this site is very unique because the state has not required the groundwater monitoring plan, but you are proposing to have a groundwater monitoring plan. So we have prepared that plan. We've submitted it to the county. We certainly understand all the parameters that the state would use to evaluate. I honestly don't know the answer to the question. If we would submit that plan to the state that has said they don't want a plan or they don't need a plan, that's a unique circumstance. Your proposed condition is that we develop a plan and implement a plan. We have done the development, and I guess whatever additional information you require as part of your condition is on you, but I'm not exactly sure what the state would do with that. But we certainly understand that the parameters that they would look for.
I'm assuming one up, two downstream would be?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
What is your target actual N that you try to apply for on your manure?
First year availability in a corner-on-corner rotation, typically 175 pounds is what I think this plan is based on. It's going to be different for dry land and irrigated production
Right. Because
of yield goal, but
Right. That's
a general area. Yep.
With the follow-up with the catastrophe, and I was just to make sure that I was correct, it is you do have to go to the state before you do other than your indirect inject. So if you were to do a pivot or if you were to do surface application, that has to go to the state first?
That actually is not correct. That was a condition on the other site to the county that we would have to notify the county of that circumstance, I believe. But the state does not require injection. But because of the question, I want to make sure that everybody understands the high incentive to inject this manure. 70% of the nitrogen value in this manure will go up in the air if it's surface applied. All of the benefits that Dean and Hayden have talked about and their excitement to utilize manure on their farm is largely based on organic nitrogen. The ammonia portion of that goes up in the air if it's not injected, if it's not sealed up. So that means 70% of most of the value goes up in the air as well. So there is a high incentive. And in regard to the center pivot, it's most likely that if it was catastrophic and have to be surface applied, in my experience, even if it has to be surface applied, it's still easier to go across with a ground rig or a drag hose machine and surface apply rather than injecting because you're not smearing the soil, you're not spinning wheels. The effort that it would take to apply this through a center pivot would pretty much mean an entire re-nozzle for the pivot. Manure will plug nozzles, so I mean it would be a completely different center pivot type of system. Point is that is not planned or expected, and even if it was catastrophic, that is probably not how it would be applied.
So all in all, I mean, both these, the previous application and this application is more or less the same, so the conditions that we had on the last one would essentially be able to roll over.
Absolutely, in my opinion, that's absolutely correct. They are good and reasonable, and I think the economic incentive and the environmental incentive are the same.
I did have one other speaker that had signed up here, so we will invite you back because we do allow the applicant to close.
I do have a couple of points if I could. I mean, I wanted to let you guys ask me questions, but I do have a couple points that I did want to bring. In regard to setbacks, runoff, so much of the opposition's concern is about water, streams, tile inlets, tile outlets, and that's absolutely fair and reasonable. But when it's supposed or suggested that we're going to pollute streams or pollute lakes or pollute drinking water, I just want everyone to understand that this is a zero discharge facility. This operation has a permit from the state. It is absolutely illegal for them to discharge manure or manure runoff into the stream, the creek, or the lake. And if they had a spill or if they had runoff out of a manure applicator, they are absolutely required to notify the state within 24 hours, submit a discharge report. The state would come out and investigate that. Ideally, the applicant or the farmers would do everything they can to stop the discharge immediately. They're required to do that by law. And so a lot of the concern about chronic leaching, chronic leaking, chronic spills is illegal and absolutely is not permitted by their permits. So one last thing I just wanted to revisit is livestock siting in general. When we get approached by someone who wants to build livestock, the first step typically is the county, because typically the county has more restrictive requirements, especially in siting, setback, neighborhoods, zones, et cetera. And when Dean said that he had two farms that met your county requirements, that's legitimate. They brought us many sites that we do what we call a pre-screen, and this is what we go to first. Gage County regulations. This site is one of two where they wanted to develop that does meet your county requirements. And those requirements for this site is a half-mile setback. And let me tell you, your setback requirements are good and reasonable. I work in counties where a site like this would have a mile-and-a-half setback. Those counties have said, we don't want development, we don't want livestock here. And they've done it by their setback rules. I work in counties that have no zoning. It's a free-for-all. I work in counties that have zoning that have a quarter-mile setback, and that might cause more problems. But this site meets your good and reasonable setbacks of a half a mile. So I can't encourage you enough, because this is our rule book. This is all we have to go by when we go to try to find a site that meets the kind of requirements, that's good for the zone, that's good for the neighbors. This is all we have, and this is what you or your predecessors have developed and that you've stated is good for the county, is good for your zones, and is good for your neighborhood. Ag 1 district, the very first line, intent. The district is designated for general agricultural use and is intended to preserve and protect agricultural production from encroachment by incompatible uses. This is where we go first to see if this is a good site. For folks who want to build a house in these type of zones, there is guidance on what the impact may be. There's guidance on what they can expect as an applicant to build a dwelling in the A1 district. And it includes a lot of language about livestock, about odors, about manure application. So just please visit those regulations as you make this consideration, because we've followed these rules, we've utilized them extensively, and this is really all the guidance that we have from Gage County to find a good site. And in my experience, in my profession, these are good and reasonable, and we've done a good job to only find two sites that meet these requirements in your county. So appreciate your time. I'll be here for more questions. Thank you.
We have one more here, and like I said, I will bring the applicant back up just to close, because we have one more speaker here. Don Goble? Name and address, please.
Yeah, Don Goble, Route 4, Fairbury.
Okay. Please raise your right hand. Okay. Do you swear or affirm to tell the whole truth or nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yep, I do. Well, I understand Otto's want to raise hogs. So my question is, why they just do it? I mean, if they want to if they want to raise hogs, and I mean, Bruce Livingston will sell some hogs to him, I'm sure, if they want them. So why are we getting into this CAFO business? I mean, but along with this CAFO operation, another question I have is, who builds the barns? Who's paying for that? Well, the way this is working out in the chicken operation is that the barns are financed and built, and the landowner pays it back over a 15-year period. So they drain it out of the revenue going to him and to paying for the barns. The barns are on his land, and he ends up with a barn after 15 years. It sounds like this is the same deal with the hogs. If it is, my question is, why don't they just go ahead and raise the hogs? And I think that what it means is they don't have the market. It used to be 50, 60 years ago, hogs were a mortgage lifter or somebody gave money off of that and come out all right on them. Until 98, when all that hog decline happened, which is another story. But anyway, I'm not sure what the hog market is around here anymore. Apparently there is some, because some guys are raising hogs. But the thing is, if they get wrapped up in this CAFO operation, what they're going to end up, looks like they're going to end up raising somebody else's hogs, because I understand Bruce owns the hogs, and I don't know how this Iowa operation enters into it, but they're probably running things. So Otto gets the manure and does the work. That's how it's been in the past. Well, if I was him, I would think, you know, what I would do is I would tell the CAFO operator, says, listen, I'll lease you the land. I won't sell it to you. I'll lease it to you. You can build your barn and raise your own hogs. You can do your own work. I get the manure up until I want, and also I get a payment. And the payment could be based on, like, the tower company. Windmills are going up around here. They're around, what, $1,000 an acre or more? They could maybe get some decent money out of that. Over a 15-year period, they could raise their own hogs, and, you know, and the landlord could get the payment. They wouldn't have to go out there and feed them hogs every day, or the chickens or anything else. So what it amounts to is this CAFO operation is actually looking for a labor contract for these guys to basically work for. They're really not a whole lot of anything. But they get manure. Now, I don't think that's a good deal, but there are other deals. There are other ways we could do this.
Time's up.
But you got things like the AFAN guys showing up here, and they tell you how wonderful it is and how everybody's going to get rich and feed the world and all that. Well, you know, if I were them, I would reject this. And I would buy the hogs from Bruce, feed them my own, and I would just do it that way. I think that'd be a better deal.
Well, thank you. Does the board have any questions? All right. The applicants can come up and close if they have anything else.
I don't have anything too major to address, but one thing I did want to address is a comment about poisonous gas in these buildings.
Can I have you state your name just real quick?
Carl Hoover Jacobson.
Okay.
1903 Road 9, New York, Nebraska. Okay. Poisonous gas. I've been working in hog barns since I've been able to walk. There's living animals in these buildings every day. There's workers in these buildings every day. This poisonous gas is the same gas we all create. And I think this is where the ventilation and the technology is worlds ahead of where we were in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. This is modern 2023, into the future, best of everything. I still have an open invitation to take any of you guys through one of the facilities to show you. I wish you all would, just so you can see what 2023 hog production is. So any other questions from me or on behalf of the Summit team?
Any other questions from the board? I don't think so. Thank you. Anybody else from the public before we close our public hearing? If not, I would ask for a motion to close our public hearing.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Eddie, second by Dave. Ask everybody to please vote.
You vote?
Close it.
Get vote.
We close the public hearing at 12:21 with 6 in favor and Tiemann abstaining. A little bit of discussion here, just so everybody knows, we will be voting in 2 weeks. We do encourage phone calls, extra information, et cetera. We'll be reaching out with questions if we have any. I didn't, as I eloquently put it before, but the regs that I referred to will not affect this application. We did ask Planning and Zoning to review them. So we do encourage public participation in that process. We typically don't see very many people here at a typical meeting, but the Planning and Zoning does have that process taking place. Again, does not affect this application, but we do encourage people to give us phone calls, write letters, and let us know what you think on this this process. Does the board have anything else?
Emily?
Don?
I just want to... I talked about my visit shortly or briefly to Iowa and to Summit Court, but I will review that in a little more detail as I wrote this up. I visited Summit Pork Operations in Iowa late afternoon through early evening on Thursday, September 14th. I saw numerous swine operations with Summit representative Mitch Baum. Other than one, I observed all Summit Pork operations having rows of fast-growing species of trees, shrubs, on three sides, with trees randomly placed between the road and the buildings for aesthetics. The one location that did not have the trees had been recently purchased, and it was an existing operation with an existing building, and it had previously had, it was in disrepair and had many old trees and it had some problems that affected the building. Anyway, Mr. Baum explained the site was built in 2008 and had been poorly maintained. The existing trees were removed and the area had a new stand of grass started and prepared for trees to be planted next spring. Tree planting is not required in Iowa. All other locations have good established grass stands that are well-groomed and maintained. There was no smell when driving by or sitting in the driveway, but there was little or no wind. Very, very calm evening. We stood in the exhaust fans, which are in the path of the exhaust fans, which were operating at maximum speed. There is definitely odor there, as can be expected. We could talk and hear each other easily 20 feet from the fans. Since no removal of the waste effluent was occurring anywhere at the time, I could not witness this or the smell associated with it. Mr. Baum explained how the newest tunnel fan systems are variable rate and operate continuously. I looked at a new facility which is very similar to those proposed in Gage County. The only difference is the dimensions of the buildings and configuration of the fans. The Gage County facility's design provides more uniformity in the pig's weight gain. I observed the final stage of incineration of a dead animal. There was very little odor at that time. The small area for rendering pickup of dead animals has 3 to 4 foot high concrete walls. Rendering is not preferred method of disposal of dead animals since the reliability of the contractor hired can adversely affect Summit Pork reputation. I took video and pictures. If someone wants to see these, I'm happy to show them. So, does anybody have any questions for me in regards to my visit?
Our public comment or public hearing part is over.
Okay, thank you.
They can reach you after.
Well, they can, yeah. Feel free to contact me.
Does anybody else on the board have anything they'd like to add, or we could discuss in 2 weeks and hear our vote? Okay. I'd ask for a motion to adjourn. We haven't. I don't think we have anything
else.
We
didn't do the specs for the future culverts.
We did. We approved those.
We did?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're done. Never mind then.
Okay. Where were
so
you
moved.
At?
Motion by Dave. Second.
Second.
Second by Eddie.
Who made the motion on that?
Please vote.
Don.
1026. Six in favor.
You voted for it. The culverts?
Yeah, her and Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought we had something.
I was being jerked.